Monday, July 25, 2022, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting, protest hearings at 9 a.m. Dakota County Board of Equalization regular meeting at 2:45 p.m. and Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 o'clock p.m.
The trucking company, I think you went on that one. It's not on the list.
Oh.
I know that they, you guys picked it up.
Right.
Lux?
In Hubbard? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The big one along the highway.
Yeah, Daryl went out there. They didn't protest.
They were happy. Well, it probably wasn't enough.
Yeah, they were over a million, I think.
I thought it was 3 or 4 million. Yeah, I left notes for the people in their trucks and trying to find someone, and finally they got a hold of me. So.
What about over there at over by the truck that commercial property over there?
Okay, it's 9 o'clock. Should we get rolling here? Okay, let's call the meeting to order. A little Dennis and pleasure, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the open meeting act is posted on the wall, west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review of all citizens and attendants. You call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott Love.
Yep.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsley.
Here.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Okay, a protest hearing number one. What we're going to do is we're going to go into A, the board to review property valuation protests by considering all papers related to the protests and findings and the recommendations of the referees, and may make the order recommendation by the referees or any other order and judgment of the Board of Equalization required by the findings of the referee. So what we make here makes no testimony for such aside such findings and here of the protest in there. So here we go.
Okay, number 36 is mine. Okay, this property, it's on 8th Avenue, South Sioux City. It has several additions to the property. The assessor had the crew go out and remeasure the property. It's basically almost half it's brand new. There's a studio behind it that is finished.
What's the studio mean?
It's like a photography studio. It's a finished part of a finished building. This was a weird one. So they really gave me nothing to lower the value. What I ended up doing was I looked for other properties that were 1,900 square feet in the area that were kind of newer split level properties. There's just nothing that would 2,000 square feet just sells for a lot of money. That's the new drawing of it. If they think it's worth $175, what I ended up doing was pulling. If you could just scroll down real quick, that's just the drawing. But $175 on 8th Avenue that's 768 square feet. Just to look at it the other way is if you think your property's 178, this is what 178 or 175,000 is.
Like. Okay.
Yeah, it's 768 square feet. Or you can buy a mobile home manufactured house on 8th Avenue as well, which is $173,000 for 1,100 square feet. So there's no way that this property that's almost 2,000 square feet and mostly brand new is worth 170 anything.
So they got away for a while.
This is a brand new permit. This permit just happened. So I wouldn't say they got away with it here. It just wasn't drawn properly in 21 when they went out. And then they went out again just last week, looked at it again. Here's the decision. When Christy and Melissa run the new numbers, with the new drawing, it comes up higher than the proposed value for 21.
All right, I think you proved your point.
So the addition was, how much was the addition?
The addition is, it's 54 feet by 22 feet, and it's a brand with a basement.
Oh, wow.
That whole section, that first picture you saw, it goes straight
this
back.
This is your little, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a really rough, sorry about that. That's a really rough drawing, but that's...
Oh, you look like you're an architect.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I went to art school.
You get big money for that.
Yeah. Fraser School.
Okay.
So I said, since the assessor had a chance to... That's the studio, the finished studio building. It's another building that's behind the house, but anyhow.
All right.
I said, since the assessor had the shot at getting it before January 1st, I said, no change on the assessed value, and the assessor recommends an increase. That's the whole new part right there. That's...
Wow.
That's the back of it, but that's the back side of it. New air conditioning, new siding, new windows, new roof, new roof line, new deck, new everything.
All right, that's fair enough. Everybody okay with that? Okay. Number four, Sam. Webb, I don't know if she's here today. I think she talked to Troy, right?
She wasn't feeling good yesterday, so I don't know if she's going to show up or not.
All right. Well, do we want to, I know Randy's running a little bit behind.
Should we just do these two later?
We can.
Just give him time.
Yeah, let's go to Doug so then he can. I think Doug just has the two and then he can go about his way. So let's do number 40. You got number 40, Doug, in front of you?
Yeah,
40
and 41.
Yep.
Yep.
They're both ag, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So you had the number 40, we had 47,910, and it went to 49,840, and you kept it at the same.
Yeah, that would be like a 4% increase.
Okay.
And according to the University of Nebraska, land value plan went up 20% in 2021. So I recommended to keep it the same.
Okay.
I bought a copy of the land value survey if you want to see
it. No, I don't want to see it. I don't know if anybody else does.
So that's just
money.
Farmland.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about 41? They showed 499.10, and it went to 519.385, and you kept that the same as well.
Correct, yep.
Same scenario?
Correct, yep.
We'll go to 41, John.
It was valued at $3,260 an acre.
Okay.
Anybody here would probably gladly purchase it for that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Maybe tell them your mind.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. Any questions on that one?
Not that one in particular. The 4%, was that a...
That's what the assessor increased it by.
Right. But was that like countywide?
I don't know.
We increased them based on soil type. So if they had that certain soil type, they went up.
All of these, like area two, raised due to number
of ag sales.
Yep.
Was that a row crop property?
Row crop.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. Oh. Not much of anything. Cricks and row crop.
Here's the kind of thing. That's a parcel right there.
Hill farm, yeah.
So it's not trees, it is farmable. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, trees bring $3,700 an acre.
Yeah.
Easy. Okay, I don't think we have any issues with that. 499.110 and keeping it at the 519.385. Okay. All right, let's move on to number three. Thanks, Doug. Number three, Daryl, we got
Mobile Home Park.
Yep, 349,605, 385,95, and you brought her back down to 373,875.
That's correct. We equalized it with some other
mobile home court. So that's the changes we made.
Okay. So that's the link, all the land in a...
That's the whole ball of wire.
Okay. Because usually the homes are owned by somebody else.
Yes.
Okay. 24, Daryl. Get to the...
Tyson.
The big boys here. Okay, we got 24. Looks like it was at $10,080, and it went to 16, and you kept it at 16. Want to tell us a little bit about that, where that is? Because I'm assuming all these here are all within the complex and maybe across the road. Is that correct?
True. Okay. That is correct. Okay.
Tell me what you want me to pull up, Daryl.
Well, this was the land value. And I had no change on the land value. I'm trying to see what we did. Yeah, that was no change. It was equalized with the other land in the area, and so we no change for that land.
Where's this land at right now? Is this off of C Avenue, or is this part of? Do you recall?
No.
It's this that you have. Oh, I'm still in the trailer park. Okay. Oh. And we're on number 24. Sorry, there's the trailer park that he. Okay. Okay, sorry. 24.
We're trying to locate it.
Do you have a picture? Or I can pull it up. Let me pull it up on here. Okay.
What do you do for
it? 2200 8124.
Boy, there it is. Okay.
That's the land table.
There's a little square there.
What?
Mm-hmm. In a residential area?
Am I looking at the? Did I pull?
That's
this?
The right. Yeah, that's the right. Lots.
Right,
that's
next
right
to the
size.
Plant, maybe.
Yep. Ours isn't.
Oh, it's right across. It's to the south.
Yeah.
It's to the south of the plant there. Okay, I see.
Yeah, that city council guy lives right to the south of it. The Dakota City guy.
That's 16,000. How big is that parcel?
Oops, let me go back to it.
I'm assuming it's ag.
No.
I don't think so. That's commercial. That's Dakota City.
It's considered commercial? It's commercial.
It looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
But it's empty?
Yeah.
Trees?
Yeah, there's no improvements on it, so.
Okay. I just want to know where it was at. Anybody have any questions on it? It's right in Dakota City, right south of the plant right there between. It's right behind the.
Okay. So let's look at the next one.
I just wanted to see where it was at.
Okay.
2200161941619416. Okay, so we're going to go to 25, Daryl, okay?
Right.
11,150, 35,400, and for whatever reason, okay, 34,500. What's
35,400? Well, I wondered.
35,400.
Okay, transposed. Okay.
A number.
So, okay. So, 35,4 it
so
should be.
You pay 35,4.
Okay.
Correct. It's 150 by 236. We ran that at $1 a square foot. And it's equalized with the other land values that we have, so.
Okay. I don't think anybody has any issues with that, I wouldn't think. 26, 1,739,405 to 2,102,30.
That's the lagoons. Yeah,
which one? 26.
Redwater River up there.
Well, so will a lot of these be going to Turk?
Anybody? I don't think so.
Okay.
The biggest problem we had, their tax rep or their accountant he just protested everything.
Okay.
He didn't know what he was protesting. He just said, no.
Just seemed like the thing to do.
Yeah, that's correct. and we went with him on stuff and looked at the things, and there's some big errors in there. We'll get to it. But this is the refinement. This is the area.
Yeah. Okay.
And we put no change on it.
All right. Keep that the same. And okay, then we're going to go to number 27. Tyson again,
$730,005 to $790,045.00.
I put in the same number. Where are we at?
27.
27.
2206705.
It's part of the
805. Right. That's right next to it. Okay.
And we no change. We recommended no change based on okay. He had nothing to offer as to why he thought it should go.
What is that versus where the other supply is?
It's right. The other one was right.
But I mean, what is it? Are those lagoons?
Yeah.
So why is one only worth like $800,000 and one worth $2 million? I guess that's
okay.
It just must be something to do with what those
aren't those all covers?
We've got
okay.
Yeah, so they can have more money invested in there.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
This is less.
Yeah, that one's less. Is that because of the of
what is less?
One's $790,000, one's over $2 million. I just was curious. There must be something to do with the equipment or the something. I mean, I'm fine with it, but I just was curious.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are the experts. Yeah,
that's, actually, that's where they got the press in there. It's over the press. The saw was down to where they took it out.
Oh.
I think. Mm-hmm. That one there. It should. I think it ought to be the other way around, really.
Or well, whatever. As a combination.
Yeah, as a combination.
It's crowd and tree.
Yeah. Well, yep.
If they would take one parcel,
that's what I'm just saying. If they were questioning,
yeah, it's legitimate. But like you said, I think they're just protest. Just protest everything. And
okay.
Then,
well, when we sat down with him, and he came in from
Arkansas.
Okay.
And he said, I don't have a problem with this one or the other one. So I said, okay.
All right.
Then why did you protest?
Yeah, I was just thinking down the line.
Good thing to do, Carol. Yeah. Okay, so 28, Joan, we're going to move on to, we got the big jump to 26,750 to 36,283,450.
Both of those right there.
So this is all the nuts and bolts, pretty much.
We know changed it. Charlie was the gentleman's name. I probably shouldn't call him Mr. So-and-so, but Terrell. He wanted functional obsolescence. And my question to him was, okay, help me out here, Charlie. Has your kill reduced? Are you pulling less critters through here and things of that nature? And has your production slowing down that you do feel there should be some obsolescence? He says, well, no. And I go, well, then we're not changing it, and that's where it's going to be. So he said, okay.
Yeah, so basically their production is not diminished at all.
Actually, we're wanting to put on another shift if we could get some people hired. And I go, okay.
Productivity is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess you have to determine how long you want to wait for her. Would she come to be here at 9
I'm just looking at you, Sam. I just got looking.
Well, let's finish Tyson, and then we can jump back.
I'm aware of that. Yeah, I don't want you out of here.
This gal's not coming, that web.
She's
not coming, no.
Okay. Well, let's just get this.
Sure.
Let's go back to number four real quick here, if that's okay.
Yeah.
You want to stay at Tyson's?
Let's finish Tyson.
Okay, let's finish Tyson then. 29.
Because I've got to stay for Randy anyhow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, because you're Frank too today.
I am Frank today.
And he will be here. That makes sense. My bad.
Sammy and Frank.
Okay, 29th.
I don't know.
I don't want to make things confusing, but I just kind of threw me off there.
I appreciate it, Bill Scott.
Okay, 29, Tyson again, 213, 535 to 220, 610. That is 2200 68941.
We don't. We recommended no change. He didn't seem to have a problem with it. He says, all I did was, I just wanted it lowered because I wanted everything else lowered.
Yep.
Said, well, it's not
sounds, it sounds too easy. I mean, listen, if it's 213 and goes to 220 and the other one's 10 million, if he, I wouldn't think that he would, okay.
And those are, percentage-wise, those are minimal increases,
that
really.
That is correct.
Okay, let's go to number 30. The 296,150 to 392,715, no change. 2200 71616.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's kind of across the street from my place, isn't it?
No, we recommended no change.
How much land is there? Can I ask?
Yeah, you sure? If anything you want. Let's get to it.
So that looks like a
it shows 3.38 acres here.
3.88?
3.8. 3.8. 3.5 acres. And along the highway? Right there.
It's right, that's right on, that's right across from the northern natural gas right there. Yeah. Okay.
How did...
Go ahead.
Oh, never mind. I'm looking at it backwards.
All right, let's move to number 31. It looks like we got 3350 to 4955560 and a recommendation at 3350. $3,350,000.
So you went and left it the same as last year prior.
Yeah, that's all they were. We did do a review interior, and of course we asked for interior of everything, and that's when he just said, "Well, I don't have a problem with it." And I said, "Well, we're not changing it." And so he said, "Okay." This one is a corporate headquarters.
Yep.
And we went through it. It's actually just a dead building, practically.
Well, yeah, because they all went to South Dakota. Is what they did years ago.
Yeah.
And I think they just kept some of their traffic people in there.
Well, we counted 8 people on the second floor and 15 on the third.
Yeah.
That's all that was there. And I mean, they aren't even set up. Fourth floor is basically gutted. There's,
oh, wow.
This is just totally storage space.
That's down considerably from a few years ago, too. Wasn't it at 10 million at one time?
Oh, let's. Yeah. Let me look at history.
Seems like we had that conversation.
So this is just that building.
Sam, that might have been one of the conversations we had when Jeff was still here about that corporate office. I thought it was $11 million at one time.
Well, I remember when Wayne, my old partner, and I valued that when it was brand new.
2014.
It was how much?
$11 million.
That's what I
and
thought.
Then in 15, it went down to 3.3.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the parking lot and everything, correct?
Looks like it here.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
So I just, my question is, I guess, confused of if it's 3,350,000 and we take it almost to 4955760.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we bring that back down to the 33.5? I guess I mean.
What we did was we reclassified the use of the building, meaning.
Walked inside, looked at it, seen that the people.
Well, we walk through all floors,
right.
And then when we get up to that fourth floor that's just gutted, then we refer to it as storage space, a 406, which is just storage. They'd have to go to a whole lot more work right now. Finishing that off would be like brand new construction.
Yeah.
You're taking out a building permit for it. So,
right.
Yeah,
so they don't want to sell it or anything. They just...
No, that's what I have.
Or lease it out to...
No, they don't want it. Anybody else in there?
Okay.
Any questions on that?
No.
So it's depreciated significantly from when they first built it is what it boils down to.
Yeah, but I told him we'll be back next year.
Okay, so the last Tyson here on 32 is 220197741. It looks like it was at 4,538,685, and it went down to your recommendation, Daryl, was 3,451,76.
Correct. This is one that it's a mess.
That's the washout shop.
Well, we got problems that he's claiming that buildings do not belong to him. This is the one we're talking about. And he said, those are not ours. I'll send you titles and deeds. Well, he did, but none of them were signed. And so we did find an error in measurement to one of the buildings that he says, well, that's ours and the others, because we couldn't take them off. He's arguing that we don't own those doggone buildings. We haven't owned them since 2009.
Who owns them then?
Empirical.
He says Empirical does. I said, well, get the deeds to us. Let us know real estate transfers. Well, he sends us stuff, but it isn't signed.
And it wasn't registered at the deeds office.
And it isn't
registered. I was going to say, is it here? It should be here, filed here.
No. Yeah. No.
You know, and that, I guess what that is there is that's where you check in at. That's the building you check in. When you turn in off of Dakota Avenue at the top of it, when you pull in there. So I can see Empirical being, because right beside that is all, and behind it's the Empirical. Mm-hmm. So
when we do Empirical, basically, maybe
all I said is you get me the data, and I'll take care of putting that value on. We'll do a board notice or something on Empirical,
right,
and assess them. But until you can send us anything, it stays. We made adjustment on the building because of size. But no, I didn't take them. We didn't take them off.
That building must be a ton smaller than for that much difference.
Yeah.
It is?
It is. It is. So it's kind of confusing down in there, but we're not changing it.
You got to remember that.
The one in the bottom corner
is a freezer.
Scott, where are you pointing now?
Okay, so yeah, if you come down the avenue here, this is the main entrance where you turn in.
Uh huh.
Okay, and then this is their little guard shack right here. And you got to remember, this is a freezer, okay? And this here is, they do all their washouts right here. That's what they do. But that's...
They're saying the only thing else they have is parking lot. Nothing else. None of that belongs to them.
Well, by the red.
Yeah, I know.
By the red, you know.
Well, that's what we told them. They said we're not budging on it. Because legally they own the thing, and they're going to have to... And I told him that if he gets the stuff to us, we'll take a look at it. But that or go to Turk, because if you can't furnish the documentation, you do not own this stuff. And he said, well, we want to get it settled. We don't want to go to Turk, and we want it right. I said, so do we. So does the county board.
I would... But it drops a million, I guess.
Yeah, last year it would have been 4.5 million before, right?
Yes, 4.46859. Yeah.
So why did we drop that much
money? Oh, we changed the building size on it. On the other one was not correct.
The dimensions?
Yes.
So you had the wrong dimensions in there before.
What were they before, and what are they really?
Oh, I see. I have to go into our notes.
Here, I'll pull that number 32 up.
If you know, we're talking about the red. You know, I don't, you're the professional here, Daryl, but to drop it a million and we don't know who, they're sitting there saying we don't own the building, I don't know. I would.
It's a big drop.
That's a huge drop. And like I said, there's a freezer on there and that big building and all the parking lot. It's all concrete.
Yeah. Should we take it? Well, the whole record is wrong. We can take it back and no change it and let him bring up. He's supposed to be getting everything to us.
I would like that.
Let's do that.
Okay. We have to make a decision today.
That's fine.
That's our deadline.
We'll make a decision on that one.
So that one is stay the same unless he provides documentation.
And I told him he had 30 days because if he's going to exercise.
He requested $354,000.
He has to file, once the board makes their decision, he has to file that with TURC within 30 days.
He requested. Okay, so let's mark this one here real quick, okay? I'm going to mark this one, and then...
But if it really is a smaller building, then we
would have to make some adjustments.
We have to make some adjustments.
And that's what what assessors did from 4.5 to 4.4, or why did... Why was that?
Because the original was 4.5, 3.8, 6.8.5, and then when they got their value, it was 4.4, 6.8, 5.90. Okay.
So that looks like a readjustment in square footage, kind of, doesn't it?
We haven't done anything with commercial.
Okay.
So it dropped based on...
Size?
Well, so when we got our new system, it pulled everything from our working file, and we haven't done any commercial since the other company, we got rid of them. So that's where that value came from. Whenever the last time they were out there.
Okay.
We don't know.
But I'm having a question here. Oh, that's right. We made a change in this building. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say then, prudent to everything is, let's take it back to where it was and let's let them clean it up because they have to clean it up.
I like that. I take it back to the 4.4, 6.8, 5.90
and
of what they got sent in the mail.
And we'll just clean it up from there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
So on this one, we're going to use this number instead of this.
So that was number 32. Okay.
You know that freezer you talked about, Scott? Where that IBP built that thing? Tight into it, just tight as now. That black part there?
Yeah.
They built that thing some time ago.
And that's been a time ago. Yeah, you're right. But who knows what.
What did you just say, Larry?
Well, that black, that freezer.
Down below at the bottom there.
Yeah, IBP built that thing a long, long time ago.
But
70s or 80s?
Mm-hmm. That's the one he says he does.
It was in the 2000s.
And he says
what?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't own it, he said.
It hasn't been over 20 years.
Well, they built one there someplace just north of the main plant that was... We furnished the sand for it. It was 20 foot. They dug it out 20 foot down and filled it all back in with sand.
That had to have been it because, as you can see here, this is the office building here. So there's the corporate office. So that had to have been.
I think so.
That had to have been it. And that, I mean, it's probably longer than what I think, but it was done in the 2000s.
See, that white there, that would be tight. That's the empiricals now.
Yep.
Where are you talking? No, Larry.
Well, that white there. See that white
right there, here?
That's the main plant of, and hooks up to Tyson's.
And he's claiming it jogs over and it takes in everything else. That dark roofed.
Well, that dark roof thing is, IBP, or it was IBP at the time.
It was, and they said they sold it to them.
That's never got the paperwork you don't have.
Well, when we get all done, we'll make that change. Yeah. Is that okay? Is that correct, Joe?
Can they?
But that'll add to the value of your dirt.
Would they have to have split a parcel?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for.
And they didn't file a survey or a deed or anything.
They're just swapping around saying, hey, pay me this, pay me that.
Nice. The thing that worried me is he said that was in 09 or something, and I'm going, oh, crap. If it's wrong, then we got to go back on. But it's their error, so I don't know if we should have to do any refunding or anything tax dollar-wise.
No, we'll pass that. We're going to come to it. Okay, should we move on to 42? Everybody good with everything there?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, 42, looks like the city of South Sioux City, $1,405,710, $1,789,370. This is Riverview Drive land and building. It states 220056692.
What are you doing there, Joan?
Nothing. It says 220056692. Okay, everything but that building, it's the land, just the land.
It says...
It's just the building.
That's not the, it's not what it shows.
We're looking for the tennis court?
Do I have the wrong thing?
No.
The tennis court's right there, yep.
There's a zero in.
Okay, okay.
It's on that parcel.
It's on the right.
Oh, it's right here.
That's the city works right there.
Okay.
Another part, this is jarred out.
Okay.
Water tower.
Oh, the water plant, yeah.
Yep.
There's the building.
Right here, yeah.
Yeah.
So the land is exempt, all that city land is exempt here because it's government. But the tennis court is not, well, it's not right now.
They fought us on that when they filed their 451, right?
Yeah.
For tech.
Did not file for a permissive exempt.
They did not?
No.
They haven't got it yet, so we recommended no change. And they did come in and say, hey, it's exempt, and they haven't filed. There's no filing for exempt status, so we did get some information on who pays what, who the income they're getting on it. They're not going to get rich on it, but they did supply that. The schools who have certain times that they get to use it and stuff, so I would think it would benefit them immensely if they just get this exempt status either approved or not. But so it isn't there for exempt status based on how they filed it. Now we said no change.
Okay. Okay. Easy enough. We'll go to number 54. Looks like it's technology innovations. Looks like it's the old Hungry's. It was at 244375, went to 549395, and made an adjustment to 486260. That is 22001-2148.
Yeah, Arlie.
That's the house as well?
No.
No, because we did the house last time, didn't we? That's right.
We did the house last time.
Sims did the house. But we took, he opens this thing up, and I've heard the food is wonderful and everything, but the back part of this, we reduced the back part. There's an addition, it's unfinished. And we put some unfinished area and subtracted it from the whole thing, and that's on the other protest, is to put it on pickup work if he gets it done this year. But he says he's not going to open it up until that back part is corrected and the bar and everything's finished back there. So we made an adjustment for just that area on that, and we recommended the 486-260. He'd like it a lot less than that.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that sounds fair.
Any... should we go to 55? We go to 54?
Yeah.
55, looks like same owners.
Yep. In that case, then we reviewed that area that was unfinished. He did have electricity, and we made an adjustment to that. I think we did. I hope we did.
Well, he left it the same.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, it went 241-730 to 256-240 and left.
Correct. Left it the same. Any argument on that?
So that's on Roundhouse Road. That's right beside the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's the same people.
Yeah,
own both of them.
Both.
Yeah, 311 Fifth Avenue.
The Morton Building on Roundhouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Wait, I'm with you now.
This is the one that burned.
Had the fire.
And yeah.
I was thinking, where's that golf course? That's
got that was Elsie Shep's in the burn.
Yep. And then it was the little foreign dude.
Yep.
Frank.
What do they use it?
Frank Faraz. I don't know what he does.
Storage only. It has electricity. He put a new skin on it because of the fire.
That's I would say that on a hard surface road right where it's at, I would say there's nothing wrong with that price.
That's where we were with it.
Okay, 59. The 305 North 14 Car Wash, Dakota City. That looks like it was 153, went to 325, and it went to 168-100.
Property needs some repairs on that car wash, but he's been working on it, but we did adjust it down a little bit.
Is that Bobby Lane's old car wash?
Yeah. Actually, it looks like it stayed the same, didn't it?
Yep.
168,100, I'm sorry.
All right. 63 is Cherry Ridge Limited Partnership. Those must be some apartments in the city of South Sioux City. 186.
It's low income.
Okay.
So why do I have that in red? Did we have a question on it?
It looks like it was off a dollar.
Oh, ours rounds up, so it's fine.
It's five?
Yeah, it'll go to five. Ours runs up to five. There's zeros.
Okay.
So we had 18277 or 20770. So it went up a couple hundred thousand. Exemption?
Or just 100,000, right?
They get low-income housing adjustment.
What is 100,000?
I don't know what I'm doing here.
So that's like less than 5%.
2200.
It's the ones right on G Street.
I should have brought my...
Or off of G Street.
Is that the one they're remodeling?
No.
Oh.
No. It's buying those.
Oh, buying them?
Yes, it's farther than back.
Yeah. The brick ones, yeah?
No. There's three buildings, four buildings in there. It's right on the curb by the campground there.
Five, six of them.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of by Riverfront in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a campground right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were, the income did support the value.
Okay.
Recommended.
Okay, we're going to go to Riverfront Apartments.
920-905 then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's low income.
Okay, so number 67, the Riverfront Apartments. Looks like they were at $4,335,220, and they went to $4,628,170 at no change.
Mm-hmm. Based on income.
Okay, those are the other ones on there.
Yeah, that one's not. Yeah, there was a sale on that one too.
6.65.
Okay.
A sale for six what?
Million.
Oh, I'm sorry,
6.6.
So they sold him?
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't they buy it?
They just did it this year.
Oh, they just did. So there could be a change next year.
Next year.
But they're low income. They're low income too, though. So
we're not going to get, as long as there's on the low income side, in section 42,
the valuations aren't
based on their
market.
No, they're not at all.
Okay, we're going to flip the page here. At least I am. 72. We got the Liberty Places. Looks like we have a few of them, but we'll start with the first one here. Joan will pull up. We got $1,808,700. We went to $1,845,990, and the recommendation stayed the same.
They're requesting $655,238.
That ain't bad.
It's 7 triplexes, 21 units, 7 duplexes, 14 units. They got a, and they're wanting, anyway.
This is a pending Turk as well.
That's going to say.
All the rest of these are pending Turk.
Is this low income also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Low income. Are these all the ones behind the police department?
Well, yes.
Yeah. The houses are separate from these.
They just won't provide their expenses per unit.
This goes back a decade.
Yes. A decade, yeah, exactly.
This goes back a decade.
I recall. Since it started a decade ago.
Yep.
And I think there's a figure they have to be a minimum at, right? I mean, in their initial agreement, I think with the city, they were going to settle in at a price, which they probably fought all the way.
Right, but
I think the city told them.
In the original contract, you're absolutely correct. However, there is no law that allows the city to assess any property within their jurisdiction.
Right.
So they keep bringing that up like it means something, but there is, in Nebraska, the assessor puts values on properties. The city has no jurisdiction at all. They would get laughed at Turk with that argument, and I can't wait till they make that argument. Actually, I'm waiting for that.
These folks here.
Yeah.
The city's done it several times. This is one example. Uh-huh. The tennis court's another one where they told them they were going to be exempt. The city has no jurisdiction to exempt a property,
the assessor exempts property based on the criteria given to the assessor by the state. That's how it
and then
works.
She brings it to the board and
yeah, then you say yay or nay.
Exactly. Yes. There is no city. The city has nothing. They're writing it in their contract like it means something, but it doesn't. They're just, that's pie in the sky. That's like, oh, hey, please do this and we'll make you exempt or we'll give you a certain value. They have no authority to do that. Not in Nebraska. I mean, maybe there's a certain other state that does it, but not here.
So my question is, all these Liberty Places that were going down, every one of these a Turk situation?
Yes. Absolutely. So Liberty Place should actually be suing the city for putting something in a contract that's not.
I'll leave that up to them.
But I mean, they don't have it. I mean, we're doing what we're supposed to do, but their contract makes them believe that they're exempt.
The city gave them a lot of money, and they did a lot of work on that area. But
they made a lot of promises.
That are in writing, but not.
Yeah, they're literally in writing.
So they've got a contract that thinks it's this, but they don't realize the state isn't going to honor that.
All I can say there is that they should have known that the city could not. Doesn't have that power.
Yeah, I mean, they should have their own lawyers that can say you can't.
They could ask me or Chris.
On all of these here, they're rejected.
This is 73.
Only because they're pending.
Yeah, this is one of the
houses. Okay, so
this is 73.
73 is right here. Okay, this is Liberty Place, and obviously it was 155, 185, went to 168, 930, and that stayed the recommendation. And obviously.
And they're all very similar. Almost.
The only thing that's the difference is the land.
Right.
The houses are exactly the same.
Yeah. It's poltergeist type stuff going on down there.
Yeah, exactly.
So why are we even talking about it?
You know that show?
Yeah, I do. And then they're going to have another turf 22.
We'll
just hear them all at once.
Yes.
We'll say we want them all grouped together.
But don't look to me like they've changed enough to worry about it.
Well, they think they should be at what, Daryl?
Oh, hell.
60,000 a house.
Yeah. Those houses, if they want that house that you just saw, that one, to be $26,000.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do here real quick here. Jill's going to be pulling these up as I'm rattling these off. Let's get through these because we know they're all Turk, okay? And they're very unrealistic of what they want and what, you know, we have them as and what we've raised them, I think, is more than. So here we go. We just did 73, okay? 74. If you see something or want to talk about something, stop me. 74 is 220-18-1152. It was at 154-190, went to 167-935, and it stayed the same. Okay, the recommendation is the same from the referee. 75, okay, in the same area, is the parcel is 220-196-176. Is 155-490, went to 169-235. Recommendation from the referees is to keep it the same at 169-235. Okay, 76, parcel number is 220-196-427. It's at 156-470. Okay, it went out at 170-215, and the referee's recommendation was 169-235. Looks like it was the same as the last one.
True.
Okay.
I went down a little bit.
Okay. All right. So then number 77, parcel number is 220-206-384, 153-635. It went to 167-380, and it stayed at 167-380 with the recommendation of the referee. Number 78, parcel number 220023301, 153-635, went to 167-380. Recommendation stayed the same for the referee at 167-380. Number 79, parcel number is 220111882, was 153-450. Went to 167-195. Recommendation of the referee stayed the same at 167-195. Number 80, we got 150, or excuse me, the parcel number is 220093063, 154005.
94063.
Yes, is that, I must have said the wrong one, my bad. 22, I must have got off. Am I on 80 right now, correct?
80.
Yes.
I'm on 80. 22,0094,063, correct? 154,005 went to 167,750 and it stayed the same, the recommendation of the referee at 167,750. Number 81, partial numbers 220,142,645, 155,465 went to 169,210. Referee's recommendation was 169,210, stayed the same. 82, parcel number 220,145,296, 153,110 went to 166,855. Recommendation referee stayed the same at 166,855. 83, parcel number 220,166,538, 153,820 went to 167,565. Recommendation referee stayed the same at 167,565. 84, we got 220,196,389, 153,450 went to 167,195. Referee's recommendation stayed the same at 167,195. Number 85, last one of the Liberty here. That is parcel number 220,178,895. It was 153,820, went to 167,565. And the recommendation of the referee stayed the same at 167,565.
Do these have basements on them, housing?
Yes.
Do they really?
Yep. The houses do. And so do the duplexes, but the triplexes are on slabs.
Okay, so what's the square footage of them things?
It's 1150.
Plus a basement.
I know a guy buy the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Now,
for that kind of money. And that newer one, you know.
And some of them are finished. The basements
some
are
basements
finished.
Some basements are finished. Mm-hmm. So really the valuation would be higher.
So where are we at with the value, what they're going to Turk? Where's that sit at?
All right, so we have, Christy and Melissa and I have worked, we worked days on this one for the last year's Turk, okay? We had a, Turk decided that they are going to hear it. So they are going to hear this case. There was some legal maneuvering going on before that, but they're going to hear the last year's case. And what I asked for last year, because I was the referee last year for this one, Daryl was lucky enough to do it this year. But what we're waiting for is we are waiting for them to break the expenses down per parcel as the statute mandates. They've given us like $2 million of expenses. It's for all 41 parcels. I have no idea how much of that expense goes to that one house. And that's what I've explained to their lawyer several times, but that's all I'm really waiting for, to settle. We all agree that they are Section 42, they are low income. The problem is that they won't break down the expenses like they're supposed to, so we cannot run the income approach. Because that's how you value the low income stuff is with their actual expenses. But they, first of all, their expenses are, there's a few questionable expenses in there, and then they have not broken them down per parcel. And there's I can't remember how many parcels there are, but
13 houses.
There's like 27 parcels, but there's 41 units.
Scott, I got to let you folks know that they are losing money, therefore you're going to have to start paying the taxes.
Well, this is
they're in a hole financially all the time.
Well, that's their own fault, the way they run their business. But this is the problem. If you look at the assessment value, you know, they're at $138.40 a square foot, and these are pretty nice new homes.
Yeah.
They're decent. But the point of the matter is, if you go into the city, let's just talk about 20th Street. they're getting $200 a square foot for a house that is built in 1960 something.
Yes.
So
this doesn't cover anything. You'd never be able to buy
anything.
No, heavens no. Exactly.
So what was the value that we have that they settled, have we had in the past? What did they settle on for a value?
We've never
We never settled on anything.
No, a couple of years they forgot to protest, so we got out that lucky that time. But no, they're still pending dirt cases. They just haven't scheduled them.
What are they paying? Are we getting taxes? Do they pay their taxes?
Yeah, they still have to pay them.
They're paying their taxes.
Do they pay them?
They have to.
Under protest.
Yeah, they have to.
So they're filing them under protest, and they keep the protest alive every year.
She claimed, last year the lawyer claimed that the county received a windfall from their company because they forgot to protest.
Forgot to protest, yeah.
Oh.
Well, that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
She was speaking last year.
Okay, well, let's if we're good with Liberty Price, let's move on to 87. The bills at Crystal Court, the third LLC. We got 1600 Honey Locust. We had it at 273. Went to 310, 455, and the referee kept it at the 310, 455.
Correct. For 12 units, yes.
12 units?
Yeah. It's low income still. And they're nice.
That's down off of G Street, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Very kept up, very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Okay.
So basically, if they're low income, it's not really based on market value. It's based
on
the income.
What they turn in for expenses.
Exactly.
But they won't
do it. So it's totally different.
Yeah.
But if they give it to us, we'll settle that one. Uh-huh. But they just have to give it to us.
Okay, so 88, same area, different parcel. And this one here must be a little bit bigger, maybe twice as big.
And includes the clubhouse.
And the clubhouse. Yeah. I've been down there. It's very nice. But that was at 546. Even, and we change it to 620,915, and Daryl recommended to keep it at the same of the 620,915.
Are they low income forever, or is it like there's a window of time?
How I sat works? On the committee at the state level, mm-hmm. and going through the process, and I've owned and operated a lot of apartments, I finally stepped down. I said, I want no part of this. This is crazy that we got to use their expenses, we got to use all their management fees. Their management fees in some cases get up to 27%.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to get 7% out of my management fees. Uh-huh. But I stepped off of it and I said, this is crazy. But they're getting away with 67. I mean, their expenses are either at 100% or 90%. Management fees are at 20-some percent. You're going, come on.
They're just basically stacking it to get.
Oh, absolutely.
So it looks like there's no revenue.
So I got out of it. I hate them. The only way you can get in and out of them is be an investor. And what you're buying up is the tax credits that they mm-hmm. get that's yeah. involved.
Yeah.
The builder makes money on the dang thing, mm-hmm. and the investors do for tax credits.
And the management.
I got to find something I can manage. But anyway, I apologize. This
have you talked to the legislature about
that? Yeah, this seems like there should be some rules that can change. Because if you have this much property that's undervalued in your county.
There's a lot of self-reporting stuff in Nebraska. I mean, personal property self-reporting. What's the other one that we were talking about? That they can literally just self-report any number. I mean, the homestead.
Oh, yeah.
They can report any number of medical expenses, and there is really hardly any sort of oversight on it. They can write down a number. This is our expense. Here you go.
And I get homestead. Yep. No, I don't. Scott looks at me like, oh, I want his number now.
Yeah,
that is disturbing that there's no way to really... see that the expenses are justifiable or fair.
Did we hit 88?
Yeah, we did. I think so, didn't we?
Yeah. That was one with the clubhouse in it, so. Mm-hmm. Okay, with that said, I guess we can flip the page back over. Thank you, Daryl.
Yeah, and I agree with Sam. If we could get some of this data cleaned up from Corinne.
Coy.
At Liberty Place, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That it would help a lot and we can get a result, but. And same with Tyson, Charlie. Here, Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I appreciate your work for us.
Yeah, thank you.
You
yeah.
Bet. Enjoy it.
We're going to move to four, which is Sam mm-hmm. Webb. she's not here today. But anyways, that 309 John Street Homer, we got 131, 325, and you took it to 146, 630, and we kept it. You kept it at 146, 630. So,
yeah, it's on the corner. It's a 1.5-story house. It's 1,580 square feet. It has a newer three-stall garage. There's a few other, I don't know if you've got it logged in, but there's a few other pictures of the garage on the garage is on the
yeah, they built a big, yeah, big one on the side, I know that. A few years back, though.
Here, I gotta go here. Number four.
220004587.
Yeah, I pulled that up. And what did you want to look at?
If you wanted to see the photos of it, I okay. just so you know, we're not, you know.
Sam, do we have something to for comps like sales there? Can you give me any information on that?
Yeah, what I did in my
I don't see any pictures. So.
Oh, maybe I'm sorry, on the county record on the extra.
Okay,
if you go to GIS, Joan, I'll have. Like
are you if you're logged in, it'll give you more.
Is that the house?
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. not. I can't.
Oh, okay. Dakota GIS.
Hey, does everybody know the house work?
Yeah. I don't know the house, but I know
the garage, and then they put an addition in the
it's
house.
It's got newer siding, newer windows. Yeah, it's right by the park.
So
it's a really nice house.
So 146, 630 is another one. It's really simple. That. I mean, by looking at it from here, and I'm looking at it.
I've
7 miles away.
Yeah, I gave in my write-up, I gave, two sales that are on James Street that are 110 and 120,000, and they are literally half the house that this thing is.
Okay.
And then the only other one that's sort of comparable would be that 210 John Street, the Maslanka house. Remember the one
that's
230,000. That would be the best comparable we probably have.
That house is so old, it's made of cottonwood. You can't even pound a nail on that thing.
Right. So if you go down one page, Joan, please. Uh-huh. Right here, up one, is right there, yeah. That's where I just, the burden of proof's on her, she didn't really give me anything. She just said it's gone up a lot, which I understand, but the market has gone up. But I get 406 James Street, sold for 110. That's a 800 square foot house, and there's 410 James Street's next door. It was kind of a beat up house that Leso bought and did, and then 210 James Street is that's the Maslanka house, the yellow house on the corner there. That would be the best. That's honestly the best comparable. Now, the 210 John Street is the best comparable, but it's superior. It's not 230,000 is what I'm saying. I'm saying that's this, but those are the three sales you've got in Homer at the moment.
What is the square footage of the web house?
Of her place?
Yeah.
It's a 15.
Okay.
60.
Okay. Take that
right in there. It's just under 16.
How big is the garage?
1580. Oh, the garage is 1200 square feet.
It's a triple.
It's
nice.
And it has a finished basement. I recommend a no change, if anything. I mean, the land's finally in line, I feel, and then I felt, 146 was actually pretty fair.
And it's close to the school.
Sam, did you talk to her, this gal?
No, she requested to come in. She did not want a meeting. She requested to be here.
Did the golf course protest?
Yeah.
Did he come in? Which golf course?
Bryce's? The new one?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, we got to go back out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, we're...
He doesn't...
A tour? You got to go on a tour?
I've been on a partial tour because it wasn't done. Did
you have your club with you?
It was two under at the turn, you know?
No, that's...
They're mowing out there now, so it must be getting...
They're getting ready.
Getting ready, though. September, aren't they? Oh, August.
September, I heard. Because I think the cabin's open in August.
I got it.
Yeah, my son has the first tee time that day, opening day.
Okay, so with that said, we're going to... Sam, we got you. And then Randy is tied up. He figured he was going to be here longer. I just called him. He said he'll be here at 2:45.
When we meet for the...
Yeah, because what we'll do is once we get all done through this here, we'll recess, and then at 2:45 we'll come back to... does that work for you?
I've got appointments today, yeah, but do you want me to give you the information?
Yeah, we'll get the information.
Let's have him read.
Okay, I gave this one over to Frank, actually, because Randy and I have a common banker friend, and there was a conflict I felt with myself, so I recused myself. So this house here in Dakota City.
Okay, so basically what happened was this was at 375,550. Went to 46,650, and the referee's recommendation went to 435 even. And it's a setup.
Square foot. Pool in the back.
Wow. Yep. Nice. Ingram.
2,400 square feet. It's a good quality house. It's got a
2,400 square foot.
2,447.
On the main floor?
Yep. On the main floor. Jeez, there's another 2,000 in the basement that are finished.
Wow.
There's a four-car garage. It's two and two at an L shape there. It has the in-ground pool.
Friend of mine's putting one of those in. It's $100,000 right now to put much of an in-ground pool in.
That's probably just the basic start. Yeah. Until you get going, he'll spend another $100,000.
I bet he will.
Guarantee he will.
And we did have a problem. We didn't have depreciation on the pool, so we did have depreciation to the pool.
So that's where the difference of the 46,650 and the 435 kind of came in?
No.
Not necessarily?
Yeah, just some.
What the appraiser decided to do in this case was to actually pull the sales, and we actually grid it out just like a regular appraisal. I don't know if it's in the...
It looks like it could be. There's quite a file here. Okay.
He actually put it on the grid, and we just made the adjustments like we do just on a regular bank appraisal or a purchase. That's the grid sheet. It's not perfect. Mr. Grecken's house is in the top 1% of the houses in Dakota City. It's best quality, best size. Location's good. It's not on the river, but it's close, so it's not...
Rock throw away.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. There was a CMA, a competitive market analysis given from a local realtor, and that's where his number is coming from, or where Randy's number is coming from, that 378. That's his number, yes. Now, luckily for us, that 1619 Walnut Street, that's just right over here, right on the corner.
Another big
that
house.
House right there.
Right here on this.
Is that the house? Yeah.
1619. Yeah.
So that is, it's a little dated inside, but it does have a four-car garage. It sold for $385. No pool, no finished basement.
And it doesn't have near the character.
No.
Or the location.
That's what I mean. It's just basically a square house.
And it's only one bedroom, one bathroom, I think, in that main floor.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
one hell of a bedroom.
That adjusts, see, so that's really where his number is coming from, is that adjusted sales price. Can you go back to the grid sheet, Joan, please? The two up, maybe? That one right there. So, okay, so here's how like the standard appraisal is done. So if you look at that 1619 Walnut Street. If you go down that grid, so that's a comparison, and to the left of it is Mr. Grecken's house. So we make adjustments. We just add dollars or subtract dollars to make similarities, to make things the same. Then, so if you have They're almost the same in age, but if you have, you know, similar quality, then there's no adjustment. But so we added for there's a bathroom difference. There's a minus adjustment for the square footage because the Walnut Street is larger, but then there's a plus adjustment for the basement, which is because there's none in Walnut Street. Then we had to add for fireplace, add for the pool. And we only added $20,000 for the pool, which again, but what is it really going to sell for? That's where the most of the number came from. That's the adjusted sales price of that comp. If you added the pool and added the basement and took away the extra square footage. So if you want to know where the, like, how did we get to that number, that's where it came from mostly, is comp number one, Walnut Street. Adding pool, adding finished basement, subtracting square footage.
Okay.
So when he comes in, that's what the appraiser thought.
So finished basement, pool from the other one.
Yeah, so because the Walnut Street's larger, so we had to remove value, but then the basement adds value, and then the pool adds value. So that's where the 435 comes from. So the recommendation is in between the two numbers here. It is.
Which I think is more than fair, myself.
Yes.
Yeah, more than fair.
This is one where
if I had $486,650, I'd give him that originally. If I needed a house,
we wonder where's the top of the market in Dakota City is really the question with this house. This one would sell at the very top of the market, and where is that number?
There's been some houses that have sold along the river that have probably been about that here.
Exactly, and we did utilize those. The other comps are. One of them is the one you're speaking of that's on the
Rogers.
Not Rogers.
Jaggers.
Jaggers. Okay. Rogers bought, that sale I threw out. Yeah, I didn't like it.
I don't even know what he paid for it.
What
it
did
matter.
The Groves house go for out on that lake? What did?
Which one?
The one across, the two-story one, Joe? Yeah. Across from the river?
Did like it sell? No, out in Hubbard.
Oh, Hubbard. Oh, that was
did that sell?
Yes.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Over 5.
480,
something like that.
45? Yeah, I
want to
say.
Is that the one up on the hill?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it overlooks the lake. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's what I know.
I wasn't sure what they got for it. I know they started at 550, I think, mm-hmm. or yeah. 6, and then 550, and
I
wasn't sure what they
got.
485 is
what
they sold.
Okay, so I'm going to need a little bit of help here real quick, unless anybody has any other questions for Sam. I think we know where we stand with Randy, et cetera, but I'm going to need a little help because obviously once we're done here, recessing here, and when we come back, but we need to make the change on 42, and then how do we...
Number 32, you did
or 32,
not,
I meant, my
you
bad.
Did not take the
yep.
referee.
Yep, 32, and then...
All the rest you...
Yeah. All the rest we're keeping the same. So when Randy shows up here today to talk, mm-hmm. we're just going to let him know that we went with the recommendation of the referee.
Unless you want to make that motion now and do this.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the reason why I've asked.
Ask them all, except for that one. Or do them all and just if we can amend it. You can do it later. Do it all at once.
I think the simplest thing to do is to hear him out, obviously, and he'll hear us out here today on recording. But we all know that house, you know, meeting in the middle at 135 is more than this much. Nothing's going to change our mind. You know, that's what we're paying these referees for.
Boy,
so
it's worth six.
I mean, so basically, this is what we're going to do. I just need a record.
You want a motion now?
A motion now. And with the change of 32 of going back to the assessed value that was sent out of the $4,468,590, okay, is what we need to do.
That's when we're waiting for documentation.
Yes. Okay. But yes, so we want to take it back to what the assessed value was sent out to them of the $4,468,590. Other than that, we're all on board with the referees and everything that Sam and Frank and Doug and Daryl did. Correct?
Yep.
All right. So, with that said, with number 32 being changed back to 446,85,90, I need a motion to approve them all and to make the change on that 32.
I'll move to make a motion on that.
Okay.
Do we have to change 63 because of the typo or no? It's just a rounding.
Yeah, it's just a rounding.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I'll make a motion on that, Scott.
Okay, so we got a motion by Bob to approve all the recommendations of the referee and then change the number 32 and a second by Larry. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, folks, I think for the time being, what we'll do is...
You accepted correction, right?
Yes, we accepted corrections. Yes.
The recommendation.
Yeah, the recommendation of the 435, I think it was.
That's right there, but boy, you couldn't build on that, man.
No. So basically, we're going to recess. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Seth Roberts. Chrissy, we'll see you back here at 2:45, I'm assuming.
Sure.
So we will recess and be back at 2:45. Thank you. I like it.
Sure.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Gerald, thank you. Appreciate it.
See you later.
Do I need to go through roll call on this and that again or not?
You could make a note of who's here. Yeah, I have to take right roll call again. Just so that they know everybody's back in attendance.
No pledge.
What?
He can just reconvene the meeting, can't he? He doesn't have to do all of the pledge and open the meeting and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I do or don't?
You don't have to.
Okay, it's 2:45. We're going to reconvene our meeting from this morning from the Board of Equalization. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bypass everything except I'm going to do a roll call real quick one more time, if that's all right. Okay, will you call roll, please? Just
Scott?
To make sure everybody knows we're here. Yes.
Janet?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
Robert?
Here.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the consent agenda items real quick here. If I can get a motion for the consent agenda items.
And that should be July 11, not May 31.
July 11th of 2022. That's the approval of the previous minutes.
So moved.
Okay.
A second.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob, second by Janet. We call roll, please.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Okay, from this morning, we have Randy Grecken here we got done with our meeting earlier this morning, and he was coming in, and I notified him and told him he could be here at 2:45. So, Randy, if you want to take the podium, if you would, and then we'll just kind of give you a heads up of what's happened here, okay?
Okay.
Today, when we met, obviously Sam or Frank, I think Frank took it, but Sam was here. But anyways, needless to say, what we did was your prior was $375,550, and they took it to $486,650, okay, which you got in the mail, and then the referee recommendation was $435,000.
Okay.
Okay. So, and at that time, we, as a board, pretty much voted on it, and we went with the recommendation.
We did not take action on Gregson.
We did not take any action on his? I thought we did. Really, we didn't? Okay, my bad. I thought we did.
So...
We looked at it.
We looked at it
because Sam was not going to be back. Yeah,
we went through all the.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's right.
We did not take action on that.
So, can you tell me how they got to that number?
Well, what he came up with. You want to pull it up real quick, Joe?
Yep, I've got it up. Christy, do you want to maybe go over what
he did? Almost like an appraisal
right.
Dad did,
yeah.
Where they did comparable properties. It's right there.
Yeah.
And those are the properties he used to come up with the value.
What are the comparable properties?
It looks like...
1302 Elm, 1619.
That's mine.
That's his.
Okay, 1619 Walnut.
Okay.
604 North 6th and 741.
741 Dakota Flats.
Dakota Flats.
Have you seen that, Randy?
I have not seen that.
Okay.
No, I've gotten nothing in the mail or anything since I met with the referee. He was going to check a few things, and I thought I was going to get something, but he said I could meet with your board and go from there. So I haven't seen any of this aside from 1619 Walnut was an act, because he had no comparables when I met with him that day. And I showed him the ones I had, and I even told him the comparable I got, two of the addresses I didn't think would qualify as a comparable because they were nowhere near the same neighborhood, and he agreed. So I'm curious what he had for comparables, because the 1619 Walnut is a larger house by almost 20%, and it sold for $367,500.
It's finished basement, though, correct?
The what?
The basement was not finished.
I've never been in that house. I don't know.
He adjusted for size.
He adjusted,
And pool, and he adjusted for that stuff on there. That's why he used this. It's an appraisal form.
Okay. What I know about the house is it's a larger house within probably six blocks of me, roughly. It's two blocks south of the courthouse, and I'm, three, four blocks south of the courthouse and a couple blocks east. But what was the other address?
604 North 6th is the
other. I don't have that one.
And then that 741 Dakota Flats.
Yeah, and the Dakota Flats ain't even in Dakota City, so I don't know how you use that as a comparable when it's not even, that's more out by Scott's house than mine.
Yeah.
He would adjust for the land off of that, but the house he would probably use as the comparable part.
But a house here compared to a different neighborhood could be the same house, have totally different values. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you put my house in Southridge, it's going to have a lot more value than it does where it is.
You think so?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. I question that. I would question that. In today's world, I question that.
This is a 741 Dakota Flats house.
Value. And what'd that sell for? Can I get a copy of that stuff?
Sure. It says close at 420.
Okay.
You can have
it. Yeah.
Because I'd like to look at that and examine it when I decide if I'm going to appeal to Turk.
I know a little bit about Dakota Flats.
Okay.
Because obviously my brother lives out there, etc. But that house in general, okay, I don't know if that's really, I don't want to say it's not a good comparable, but that house was sold very inexpensive because the guy was, I think it was a divorce situation, and I think he
had other restraints to make him move.
That house in general, for $420,000, that was a buy on that house. It might be comparable as far as square footage. I think it's even smaller than that. I think it's like 2,200, I do believe, if I remember right.
Beckner.
Yeah, Pete Beckner.
Here's the square feet, 2934.
No, it's 500 square feet bigger almost.
And then the other comparable was this. That's the flats. What am I looking at?
It does flood out there, though.
Yeah. 1619 Walnut.
That's one just a couple blocks away from here.
That's 2934. The 741 Flats is 2385 up in 1936.
So 2385, you're talking 100 square feet smaller.
I think that 29 I knew was
604 North 6.
I'm not even familiar with that house.
That's right here, this one. Looks like it's on the river or close to the river.
Yeah, isn't that Judge Eggers?
Well, if it's on the river, I don't know how you compare that to one that's not on the river. Because I guarantee you on the river has a lot more value than something not on the river.
And that had 1871 above and 1600 below.
They have a pool.
Honestly, I don't think it would matter. It's on the river. I mean, that's like going to Okoboji and buying something on the lake compared to not on the lake. It's a huge difference. They're not even comparable. It even says on the river there. Mm-hmm. And that one's my sheet you're looking at where a lot of info is wrong on that, which I pointed out to the referee.
And basically, here's his sheet and his remarks.
6% increase.
That's what I was told at the assessor's office, that my area went up 6%.
Yeah. Needs depreciation on pool. Not sure what measurements are wrong.
Randy, do you have specifics for any properties that sold that you're using?
Yeah, I've got four here, and because I had a licensed realtor give me a market analysis on the property, and that's where I came up with my number. I didn't pull a number out of my ass or say it should be this. And two of their four properties, I even told the referee that I didn't think they were good at comparables, but I didn't make the report. And I gave a report to either the referee or when I filed the paperwork. There should be a copy in with your stuff. If not, I have it here you can look at, but I only have the one copy.
That's
and
okay.
It shows 1619 Walnut Street, which you have up there.
Right.
Just shy of 3,000 square feet, sold for $367.5. Then I've got 472 Highway 35, which I don't think is a good comparable because it's an acreage. 1,436 square feet sold for $370. They also used 543 164th. Again, I don't think it's a great comparable because it's an acreage. That's 1,900 square feet sold for $375. And then you have 705 Olive Street here in Dakota City. 3,124 square feet sold for $402.5. And then when they did their chart to figure out a value three different ways, they came up with $378,750 is what they told me they'd recommend listing it at.
How much?
$378,750.
Listen, your house?
That's what the paperwork came back as.
Who was that, a realtor?
That was through Cardinal Realty in South Sioux.
How long ago?
I just had this done after I got the card, before I protested. Probably within, I got this a week or two before I protested.
I think it's very hard. I think it's very hard for your house to find a good comparable.
I agree.
In Dakota City, no question about it. And I think that you're in a situation where, I'll just give you an example. I had them do a drive-by at my house on appraisal, and all my comparables came from Southridge, and that's not a good comparable.
Nope. No, it's not.
It's not. So I'm in the same kind of situation, you know, that you are.
And when they did this, they've done a walkthrough on my house and looked at everything.
There's a house out at Rotunda Way. It's like 1,700 square foot, and it's at 469. Well, it's a three-car garage, but it's a small three-car attached.
Still totally different neighborhood. That's a semi-gated community, all paved streets.
It's a small lot, and I don't know, it seems like more than I'd pay, but to me, somebody'd buy yours before they would that one. You've got such a nice big house.
I'm not lying. It is a big house.
You know, this house don't even have a pool or nothing. It ain't even done built yet.
But a pool can help or hurt you. Some people would never buy a house with a pool.
Yeah, the pool
because of the liability, the maintenance, the expense.
Randy, it seems like I remember Sam talking about this morning on that worksheet, you know, where they have the 1619 walnut, is it, listed, and the thing. So the worksheet, Christy, you might weigh in on this. Mm-hmm. So they did that, and so they took away some of this, you know, the larger home on walnut, because that was a non-finished basement.
Okay.
But the worksheet that they did, so the numbers are side by side on that, and I think that's, he can have a copy of that if he wants that, right? So when they got down to the bottom line on that, the house, your house and that house, number wise, were very similar. Then they put the pool on, and that, so if it was 360.
Now see, that's where the referee and I disagreed.
Okay.
He said,
I'm just telling you.
Oh, no, I agree. I hear you. But, and I've checked since I met with him, with realtors in this area that sell the houses.
Mm-hmm.
And a pool will either help or hurt trying to sell the house. And all the realtors I've talked to that have been doing it for decades in this area say it doesn't really add value to your resale, because some people don't want the liability.
Unless you get the right person. It's like anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
The right person comes along.
It's like a specialty vehicle.
Yep, right person.
But anyway, that's what I'm saying. And for us, or myself, this morning on that worksheet and comparing those numbers, I don't know what the pool, they threw $100,000 out for the pool. I don't know what
the pool. The pool cost $38,000.
We're not even at that. I think the pool's $20,000.
I think that was brand new.
And that was brand new when insurance paid for it, and there was no negotiating.
But
insurance gave
Christy,
a check for this much. And
was I right, Christy? Those numbers that we worked down on the walnut.
So if it had more, if the comparable had more square foot, they subtracted from that one. The pool adds, the basement finish adds.
So that's what I'm saying. So it got to about the same number on yours and walnut. Bigger, I know, but no finish on walnut. And then it was the pool.
Okay.
So, and you can differ with that opinion.
Oh, sure.
I'm not saying that's, you know, that's for you and the referee or Turk, whoever, to decide.
Yep.
But that's how I remember yours, the discussion on yours from this morning.
Okay, this needs to be, today's the deadline. So we need to decide on this today. And then obviously, if you wish to move forward.
What is that process? How long do I have to file with Turk? And what's the process to do that?
Christy?
30 days after he gets his response.
So I'll get a response.
August 25th is the deadline.
Oh, no, just four doesn't come from us.
Oh, wait, August Joan, 25th. You said something different?
August 25th is the deadline to file, I'm pretty sure.
So I don't have 30 days?
No, you do not. You have until August 25th.
And then will I get a report from you guys, or how do I get that?
I'll email it to you, Randy.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody at this table is going to change it from 435. Correct?
And just so the board knows, I mean, Kim can correct me if I'm wrong. You'll need special counsel at Turk if I file, because she has to recuse herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about Deb? No, Don.
I think there'd be a little bit conflict
there. I got you.
So anyways, where do we go from here?
Need a motion.
Just this parcel?
Yep.
Okay. I'll make a motion to accept the referee's recommendation of 435 Eden on parcel 220014957.
Okay, awesome. Motion by Bob.
Second.
Second by Troy. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
So the 25th, Randy.
25th. Thank you.
I appreciate
you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Well. Okay, we're going to move on to. We did.
Has a correction.
I have a correction for one of the protests.
On number 76. I wrote down the wrong land value. If there was a no change, it should be, the residence should be at 151, 190, and the land should be at 19,025 for a no change of 172.15. It was on one of Liberty Places.
172.15.
So it's going to go from 169.235 that we...
I was looked at the wrong land value. So just the land changed.
Okay,
it should have been at 19,025.
Just move right in.
So column three should be 172.15.
170.215, yeah. The other column's wrong. It shouldn't have changed at 172.15.
Okay, got it.
So we need to make a motion on this, Joan?
Yeah, I think you do.
Okay,
I think
so
you need to...
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a motion from this morning's meeting on a correction on 220-196-427. Liberty Place originally was 156.470, and it went to 172.15, and we're going to keep it at the 172.15.
Yeah.
That's my motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, I got a motion by myself and a second by Janet. Will you call roll, please?
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Okay, can I move on to new business now? All right, new business here. We got a hearing for Heartland Counseling Services, an application for exemption for motor vehicle taxes for qualifying nonprofit organization. We got a 2008 Toyota, looks like a van. It's a VIN number ending in 159769. The vehicle is used by staff to attend meetings and other activities, and providing support services, crisis response, peer support, and day support services to clients that have mental health and substance abuse issues, improving the quality of life and decreasing the risk of hospital admissions. Okay, so recommendation here is by Don Bosquet. Recommendation and of approval. Don?
Yeah, I approve. I think they need to be exempt because of those reasons.
I'll make a motion to approve the exemption for Heartland Counseling.
I can second that.
Okay.
Scott? Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay. And then what's the board to consider the recommendation of the county treasurer? That's it, basically, isn't it? I thought I was going to close it, and then we're going to go
Bob
to that.
Bob jumped ahead of you.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. That's what I thought, but I okay. A little. Okay, so we got that squared away. So here, let's go to B, a rejection hearing appeal by Gail Brunick, my bad, Jackson, Nebraska. The Board of Equalization. Christy, this says the Board of Equalization shall issue its decision on within 30 days. Is that correct?
So, yeah, she's got paperwork. She did not file a complete homestead exemption application. So we sent her a rejection. She only filled out part of it.
Okay.
So we rejected it. So it's up to you guys what you want to do.
What options do they have, Christy?
You can reject it and agree with us, or I don't know, I guess.
The state doesn't allow for...
No, you have until June 30th, and that's it.
I put the statutes...
She can't file for an extension because she actually filed it, just was incomplete. That wouldn't be fair to anybody else that did the same thing.
What's this that says the county board can... I extend the deadline.
Yeah, she did file, so you can't extend a deadline when she filed. It'd be like your tax extension. You have to ask for an extension before you file. She actually filed, just didn't file completely.
Well, that's a drag for her, isn't it?
Yeah. And we tried. We kept getting her mail sent back to us. We kept mailing it out. She didn't tell us she was in Texas. So we kept sending it to the address. Nothing got forwarded. We finally sent a letter to everybody that hadn't filed. That's when she responded to us, when they had like a week left.
Did she have it before?
I think last year she did, didn't she? I think last year she applied.
Yeah, she said last year was the first year is what
she
told me.
Oh, okay.
She has a phone number here if you want to talk to her. She sent a discharge for her mother showing that she was legitimately
in Texas for health concerns for her parent.
And she sent an income statement.
The parent was admitted on June 10th, discharged, and is in physical therapy.
We sent it out in February.
It's late. Not according to this.
No, I don't really think there's a room for us to make an exemption or extension for her, so.
An exception,
thank you. So.
Yeah, that's too bad.
What's the bottom thing here about August 15th?
Exactly, I have to live in the property through August 15th.
Oh, are you sure?
To get homestead. Or be alive through the 15th.
Yeah, and I agree, as much as you'd like to help out, but like Christy says, you know.
We try. I mean, we call everybody.
Right.
Send letters.
I mean, you can only do so much.
Exactly.
And it's too bad that it didn't get done for her, especially since she had it last year and it didn't work out this year for her. But, okay, what's the board, what do they want to do?
So did her evaluation go up?
I don't think so. I think her value stayed the same.
It stayed the same. It's just the tax part that she had an exemption on. So if she takes this to the next level, then what happens?
Goes to chair.
Okay, well, if she wants to take it to the next level, I think then she can do that and see where it goes. I mean, that's...
Yeah, we did. I mean,
that's what I'm getting. That's the feeling I'm getting here, so...
Says they may file a late application pursuant if they provide medical documentation. So it's like
that didn't apply.
No, and it would have to be she would have
her,
to be
her, she would have to be
if she didn't file late.
Yeah.
Here,
we
she just filed it real quick.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure what the law even.
And this is a tricky one.
Yeah.
If you started and sent it in and you did not complete it, but you guys were contacting her, trying to contact her. To fill the
start in February.
And she admitted she waited.
Ooh, so we need a motion and yes,
back for
no.
Sure, right? Make sure
she applies. Yeah.
And then this year she can try to take it to the next level.
Well, she can if she wants to.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess I need a motion to either we're going to accept or not accept.
Ed, you denied, Christy? You denied?
We denied it, yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion. We go along with the assessor's recommendation and deny the exception.
Okay. Bob, Larry, call roll, please, Joan.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, see, Christy. Request approval of clerical omitted or tax list correction errors.
I got none.
You got zeros? Okay. We'll move on to four. We got mail emergency business. I see that we have a plan of assessment for Dakota County for the assessment years of 2023, 24, and 2025.
That was filed at my office. If anybody wants to look at it, something Christy's required to file each year. So,
I seen you emailed everybody out the copy of it. I seen that. So, okay. Is there any public comment from the public? Anything that they would like to talk about with the Board of Equalization? Nunya, we are adjourned. Bob, all right. Yours.
All right. We will move right into the Board of Commissioners meeting. We've already done the pledge earlier today, so we will start with roll call, please, Joan.
Robert Kesey?
Here.
Scott Love?
Yes.
Janet Gill?
Yes.
Larry Albanicious?
Here.
Troy Lonsley?
Here.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Commissioners reserve the right to adjust the order of items on the agenda if necessary. First item on the agenda is public comment. Anyone here to address any item on the agenda, that is not on the agenda? Yes, sir.
Okay. How's everyone?
Name and address for the record.
Ron Hartmost. Sorry to hear about your mother.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's related to this. I just want to kind of share with you guys that Seattle Light was really instrumental in getting the road paved between Jackson and Hubbard. And she's always mentioned, and I always think there's, Ray Gormley, if you guys know Ray Gormley, would always say, called it Jackie's Road. So I just think we should dedicate it in honor of my mother, the road to her, Hubbard to Jackson.
That's an excellent idea.
Okay.
I don't know when that road was built. Scott, were you around for that? Your memory's good.
It was a little bit before my county
was it?
Business
okay.
time. But
so.
Larry, if you had to guess, let's just guess and we'll find out.
Jolene's here. She
might. Jolene knows.
I would guess 2002.
Okay.
2003, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was 20 years old. I told that a year or two ago.
Yeah,
maybe
that would be right then.
Yeah, early 2000s.
But it seems to me it's more like 30.
No,
when
I don't think so.
The department was up, or they went out there in 1999 when that road wasn't paved yet out
okay.
there.
Okay.
Well, Ron, again, our sympathies, and I do know your mom was here for 20 years. Is that correct? So was involved in a lot of not just our road situation, but other issues as well. And I think she really enjoyed her time here and made Dakota County better. For all of us going forward, so we sure appreciate her work. I don't know about the road naming situation, but we'll certainly look at it. I mean, that's we'll have to do some work on it, and I got your number.
Great.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Good idea.
Anyone else here to address any item not on the agenda? Nope. All right. We will then move on to item number 2 is the consent agenda. Any individual item may be removed by a commissioner for special discussion and consideration. Unless there is an exception, these items will be approved as one with a single vote of the Board of Commissioners. Item A is approval of previous meeting minutes, July 11th, 2022, approval of payroll claims, approval of accounts payable, approval of officials' reports, Register of Deeds, County Clerk, Clerk of Court, and approval of Sheriff and Jail Quarterly Reports, April to June 2022. Those are the items. I did go over the payroll and claims. All seem to be in order. So I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Scott.
I'll second.
Seconded by Troy to approve the consent agenda. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay, item 3, new business. Andrew Forney, D.A. Davidson, requesting approval of Resolution 22C014, approving, adopting, ratifying, and affirming the execution of lease purchase agreement with NACO Leasing Corporation for acquisition of property 2023 John Deere Motor Grader. We have those details of that. Joan, did you want to add anything on any other communication?
What happened to the 1% we used to get?
Yeah.
Those were the good old days,
those
right?
Those were the good old days. Don't seem like they're very long ago, but let me tell you, wow. Makes a big difference on a purchase that up that large.
John Deere, Murphy Tractor, did reach out to me and asked to
also give us a quote for financing, and when they found out that we were getting 4%, they said they couldn't even come close to that. So they didn't give me anything. So he did state in his email this morning when I got the final documents that he did have a buyer, and so he would be able to move forward as if the board approved it.
What would they pay the buyer?
I didn't know.
Should ask him. Maybe Troy wants to lend some money to him.
So the resolution that's on the back is the one from March, just to give us some imperative. Is that what that's about? The 1.8. That was the, so the rate's gone from that in March to 1.85 to 4. Is that right?
I'm not sure what you're looking
for. I'm looking at the back of the sheet, the back of the last page of the sheet that you sent, gave us. The resolution.
Here's that way.
Resolution 22C-007.
Yeah.
So that's just a sample of,
right,
of the resolution, financing resolution.
What's the next one going to cost?
Hard telling.
Probably more.
Maybe we should throw it into the getter drawer and just finance it ourselves. Maybe not. Janet's retired, she should have plenty.
I think so.
Stock market.
So anyway, I think the 4% is the going rate.
I think for a government entity, I think it's a little high, but then again,
that's, you're used to seeing way better numbers.
Right.
So, and we've been working with D.A. Davidson for a long
40's
time.
They're going to give us the best they got, I guess.
And obviously, the other party wouldn't go any.
They couldn't beat it. They couldn't beat 4%. Okay, so we just need a motion then to.
Oh, and more important, pay K.
There you go.
Just think about it. Look at the money we could save.
$48,000
$48,000
over 5 years.
Yeah.
Well,
me personally, I would rather hang on to the money and pay a little bit of interest over a 5 year period. Because it's a lot easier to
think about those guys. $48,000 to get a trainload of beer.
Well, it just, the problem is if we rip through this ARPA money and something comes up, and then all of a sudden, then it's like, then you're digging into inheritance and this and that. I mean, I get it. Believe me, $48,000 is a lot of money in interest, but I just don't think you want to use your cash to do that for 4%. I know.
I think I can borrow money cheaper than that.
You think so?
I think so.
Well,
give
us a bid,
Larry. When they only pay a 0.5%, gee, we ought to be able to go and get it for 2.5%, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm borrowing money for a long time, Larry.
Well, anyway, at hand today is 4% from D.A. Davidson.
Okay, so can I make a motion then?
I think you can.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay.
On 22C-014, right?
Yes, motion by Scott, seconded by Troy, to approve D.A. Davidson agreement. Go ahead.
How much is the agreement for again?
Pardon?
How much is the agreement for again?
This is 200 and...
The lease proceeds is $393,710.21, it shows. And then it says project fund deposits. Project fund is $385,836. And then those dollar amounts, there's a couple. There's the NACO cost of insurance.
Those are preliminary.
Those are just preliminary?
Yeah, they are. The principal amount is $393,710.21. Mm-hmm.
Debt service of 442.
So I'm not sure. I wouldn't quote.
Okay. Call roll.
Okay.
Thanks for cutting me off.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Since I made the motion, I'll say yes.
All right.
I've seen people make motions and then say no. Like what?
Moving on, Item four, miscellaneous. Jolene Goobles, a highway superintendent road report.
Are we down that far already?
I have one quick question on that. So is it, do we have this already, or is it still coming?
It's coming. It's in the process. We bought it early because there was going to be 11% increase coming up after a certain
date. So we've got the financing squared away even before it gets here.
Right.
Okay.
Because, so the interest wouldn't get any higher.
Okay, so we got squared away.
Okay, Jolene.
Jolene, what do you got for us today?
Oh, lots of interesting stuff.
Really? Nice.
We had 278 hours of maintaining roads, 1.75 hours of overtime, 48.5 hours of tree removal. We have bridge inspections coming up in August, so the guys were out cutting trees and weed whacking around bridge approaches and getting the bridges ready for... getting the bridges ready for the inspections, and I see I have that in there twice, but culverts. We spent 153 hours on Perry Avenue, 8 hours on 212th and South Bluff, 13.5 hours on Fiddler Creek and 240th, 10 hours on Royal Avenue, 18 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 371 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete. And we had grading concerns on 155th Street.
Okay.
How are we coming on our culvert? Are we getting a culvert list made?
We haven't got a culvert list made. I have quotes coming in from Contact, Luxes, American Underground, and Midwest on getting a shipment of culverts in. They're all kind of telling me now's not the greatest time to do that. Prices have come down a little, but to get a semi-truckload, we might be best to wait just a little bit on that and see if prices come down a little more. So, but I haven't got them all in yet. Just waiting on some.
I like the way the average consumer, you listen to you and everybody says, well, the prices came down a little. It's kind of like gas, you know. Washington's a hero. They brought gas down 7-8 cents a gallon. And, yeah, people think that it's the best thing since sliced bread, but prices are not coming down.
They're going to be high for a while. And what did our grader bring on Big Iron?
Oh, I wrote that down. It brought $61,000 after fees, leaves us with
$54,600.
$54,600,
okay.
Okay. Where did it go to?
Texas.
I need a copy of that so you can bring back a surplus report to the board.
Okay.
Is Brent still here?
No,
he's gone. Okay.
And then, Jolene, just, you know, we've been talking about the signs. Can you get a hold of what's his name and see what we can do or what we got to do so we can,
Maybe we just need to sit out there.
I just don't know how long it's going to be. I don't think anybody knows,
talking about
the signage coming from on Attica Drive from off of 77 by Pony Express is marked two areas, no through trucks. But coming down 39th Street at Arby's, it says no through traffic, and then once you get past our turnoff to Attica, that is still city, but they have two signs there. It says no outlet. But there's nothing said about trucks, so I got a gal out there that her concern, and I get it because we talked about this earlier, that the road's getting beat up, and when they leave there, they go around the corner, the debris of the cattle is going out on the road, and so and I think during the daytime, they kind of watch it a lot, the patrol, but after hours, then it's a free for all, so. No, we just need to get a couple signs up on the other end, because I think somebody said at the LEC you can't do one side and not do the other side or something.
Well, that's when we didn't have the no through trucks down there by Attica, so yeah. They were trying to enforce the no through traffic, getting the trucks coming off Dakota Avenue, coming around there, but they wanted us to put more up coming from Attica in the South Sioux. So we did that a couple weeks ago.
So you have the two. I can steal the one and put it up at the other end if you want me to.
I'll just tell the guys to go out there and see what we can do. And
put a couple more up.
Drive around and get an idea.
And I understand.
I mean, we can keep putting signs up.
And the thing, to me, it's just as quick to go west up over the bridge and spin around and go back. I mean, than to jar around down there. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, if we could just get that handled so we can make the consumers happy as much as we can. Thank you, Jolene.
Uh-huh. All right, anything else for Jolene on that item? If not, we'll go to B, which is approved change order number one, supplemental agreement on M Avenue Hubbard South Bridge project.
So we had a change order in for a culvert pipe. The where the pipe was originally going to come out, it was going to come out right by a utility pole. So we extended that pipe 10 feet to get past the utility pole so we didn't have drainage around there. So the original bid on the project was $232,800. And the work, after work was completed, it brought the amount to $216,125.52. Minus the change order gave us a cost savings on the whole project from what it was bid at $15,881.98. What we ended up coming in under bid for the whole project.
Nice. That probably doesn't happen too often, right?
No, not that much.
Well, the pipe that was added was $742. What was...
They had a 20-foot pipe. They put 10 foot out there and put 10 foot back in our yard. Yeah. So we have that.
So in the pipe, it costed $74 a foot, linear foot?
I guess I didn't do the math on it, so...
Well, that's what it is.
36-inch pipe.
So, did they get paid labor to put it in?
Just the price of the pipe.
Just the price of the pipe.
I believe that's all they have, supply metal pipe, was what they had in the change order.
Okay, anything else on that?
Like they saved money on that erosion control and the riprap if you look at the detail on the last page, so they saved some money there too. Line item 115 and one line item 15. That's good.
Julian, before I let you get away, I got to tell you, I was out touring the county Friday with a distinguished member of our road committee, and he told me that you got a lot of guys doing a lot of excellent work, really commenting on the roads and the work they're doing. I know you don't hear that a lot.
No, I will be sure to pass it on.
But and I saw some of it, and it looks nice. It really does. So
kind of tough when it's been so dry.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's all up and down. But anyway, tell the guys that their buddy Larry says that they're doing a really bang up job.
Right. Hang on a second here. What day was that? What day was that? I got to mark this on the calendar.
That was Friday.
Friday.
Scott, come with me. I'll show you.
Larry said, guys, doing great job. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's the second one.
That's huge.
All right. Anyway, thank you, Jolene.
Huge.
Thank you.
What about
you
the
change order?
What about the bids on that?
We need to. We need a motion to approve the change order.
I'll make a motion to approve it. That was the savings of.
15,000. All right, Janet and Larry. Call roll, please, Joan.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott? Janet?
Yes.
Okay, item C is approve or not approve implementation of time clock for Dakota County employees. This has been a reoccurring item for a few months. Just my own personal thoughts on it. doing, and I think I mentioned it before, reaching out to other counties, talking to folks at NACO about it. Unless we have all elected officials on board, I really think it's a non-starter issue.
It's all or none.
Basically, and we can't have it. I think we talked about the last meeting, and the clerk's office can have some doing it and some not. It's more of a headache that way. So anyway, that's just.
But there are counties that use time clocks the whole county, correct?
Right. I agree. I'm just throwing it out there.
I would. Anyway, this is neither here nor there, but. The next one with the Zelle, that's something they work with. I would like to wait until after we decide what we're going to do there to go on with that. But that's just me.
They are kind of related, and when we implemented the time clock, I mean honestly, I thought that'd be a no-brainer. I mean, it makes it easier for employees, managers, elected officials, payroll office. It's all calculated for them, so I guess I'd be disappointed if we couldn't figure out a way to make it work for everyone. I understand that there's disagreement.
I hate to tell you, but yeah. I think you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I might be. But I mean, it seems like it would be a simpler.
I know.
I guess there's obstacles.
I don't mean to be the same John, but 2011... The board at that time tried the same thing and it didn't work. So it doesn't hurt to try again, but I don't see it happening. But if you want, Chair, if you want to move on to D and see where that goes, and then at that, I don't know if that'll help us make the decision to be able to implement it, because even then you can't say that D is going to be able to make the convince these people, and I can't see it, but.
Honestly, I think although Zelle is helpful in certain areas, I don't think, they've said that they can offer up suggestions to the board, but they're going to defer to us on most things anyway.
At the end of the day, we still got to.
They can't make people do things that.
Right. So I don't know if you want to. I guess my mind in my mind is made up that I think it's going to be a tough sell. Zell. Because I really think if you look at the statutes, read what it says about time clocks. I really don't think without the every office, as I said, on board. Now there are counties that do it, but Troy, I think they're all.
They're in the 21st century.
Well, but all the elected officials are all on board. So it's, and I think, Janet, you mentioned before, one of the questions was, well, why wouldn't you want it, right? I mean, you just want people to be paid
for
what they work, what they're not, et cetera, and if there's no accountability, that's one of the things that I, well, their elected official is their accountability. Mm-hmm.
Something that's been going on for decades and trying to make change to that, when you're dealing with elected official, and again, I've always been told by Bill McLarty, and you can look at what the county board's actually in charge of. And the county board is pretty powerless, okay? We're elected officials, and I guess at the end of the day, basically what we have is the budget and our department heads, and that's pretty much it. But obviously a lot of crap rolls downhill into this boardroom. I get that. But I don't know. I don't see it happening either, Bob. I couldn't agree more with you, just because it's been in place before, it's been in place again, and obviously not everybody's on board. So Are we going to finish through C here?
I'm not sure. Is that the way you read it, Kim, on the time clock issue?
Yeah, there's so many people exempt. I mean, you'd have like half the people exempt, so why bother? But that's my opinion. I've got a copy of that if you want it.
Not why bother on C?
The exemptions.
Time clock don't. Exemptly, yeah, I would agree. Exempt people do not.
Yeah, and there's probably more exempt hourly than you would think. Department heads.
Department heads,
board members, deputies,
board of commissioners, attorneys, deputy county attorneys. So those are. It's up to the board. I'm only one.
You're one of five.
One of five.
You ever said that before?
Not yet. Oh. Not till today.
Okay, really?
Maybe I have.
Okay.
Out of 100, we have about 100 employees. How many are exempt by this?
So about 20? so five-ish, and then you have deputies, so 10 commissioners and attorneys, under 15 probably.
So yeah, 20% say 80 of our 100 would be. I was like I said, I'm just thinking when I was going through payroll and how it's a lot of work for a lot of people. I mean, employees, supervisor, the payroll, the commissioners. I guess I'm not ready to give up on it yet, and I guess it was C and D considered together.
Okay, so my question is to Joan's office. If we're willing to maybe to try to keep trying and beat a dead horse, how much more work is it for you guys to have X amount of the two departments?
We can't roll over to the new system without.
So why keep paying for the system?
What's it costing us again? $1,500?
No, it's so much amount for MIPS,
the MIPS
program, the software program. It's not that costly.
It'd be a great thing. Just the hard thing is getting everybody on board to do it.
Yeah.
It saves us a lot of time and free up some time for whoever's in the clerk's office.
Well, number C says approve or not approve the implementation of the time clocks for Dakota County employees. So, like I said, I just know the two departments are not going to do it, period. So I guess if we want to keep trying and keep paying for it, I guarantee nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change.
But this reads though, Scott, that it's the elected official exempt, deputy exempt, board of commissioners, and attorneys. So we have 110. How many employees? 110.
110, 115, whatever.
100. Well, say 100. And so this is around 15 that are exempt.
I thought the question was, if sheriff didn't want to do it, can you make the jailers do it? I mean, or Kim doesn't want her staff to do it. She doesn't. They don't have to do it. That's where I thought where we were at.
I don't know.
Are they county? I guess I'm kind of confused on the status of a county employee. I mean, that's the way we do payroll, and that's how we pay your paycheck. I mean, I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking. We want to make sure we pay you fairly. If you work overtime, we want to make sure we... I don't know. That's just my thought. For the hourly employees, it ensures that they are getting paid fairly and appropriately, and it's a county employee and a county paid payroll.
It's very fair that way. There's no doubt about it.
So the attorneys are exempt, meaning Kim, Deb, who else you have up there?
Sarah.
And do you have another gal?
I wish. She left.
And department heads and one deputy.
So at least support personnel would be
right.
Ones who would be.
Are the two departments not wanting to do with county attorney and county sheriff? That's correct.
That's correct. There's also the issue of some of the road departments don't have internet service. I'm not sure how that would work. You can't have a couple of the employees not signing in and making the other ones do it.
Well, so how about this? How about, because I think Zell is a separate issue. Why don't we, if you're not comfortable with yes or no, why don't we table it for 2 weeks and you reach out, you do the research, if need be, on things that may or may not work or problems that may come about. I'll just throw that out there too.
I get what you're saying, but reaching out to the sheriff's department and sitting down with the attorney's office and
no, I'm talking about NACO or our other folks at NIRMA for an opinion, or Kim, for that matter. You know, if you're not comfortable, yes, no, either way.
Well, I think everybody at this table is probably comfortable enough to make a decision. I think they know in their mind what they want to do. I would guess which way they want to say yay or nay. You know. And then go from there. I don't know.
Okay.
It's like I said. This is an ongoing issue. I just don't see it going anywhere. But and believe me, I wish it would too, because it does make the most sense for the clerk's office. And believe me, when I came in here in 2011 and there was nobody punching the clock, I was dumbfounded. I mean, just because it was something totally new to me. You know, I was just like, wow, how can you not punch a clock? You know, everybody punches a clock. And then we were at square one, and then all of a sudden it was just became a dead issue, kind of like it is right at this time. So, but anyways,
it's almost like somebody's got something to hide. Might not want to stick your thumb in that thing.
Well, we clock in and never clock out, so that wouldn't make any sense for the attorneys.
Yeah, I guess it's
but you're and exempt. Attorneys are exempt. Yeah. You're exempt. Yeah, you're getting salaried employees. That makes sense.
I mean, if there's a flag in here, I wouldn't bother me any.
Yeah.
So can we table this thing?
Or somebody can make a motion if you want. Either way. Anybody?
You know, I love making motions. You know, I love that, right?
So we would ask questions to.
Well, I would say NACO. We have some staff at NACO that are really informed. Elaine and Beth.
Haven't we been down that road with
Tiny I've Bus? Talked to them. I've talked to them. So I mean, I know enough to.
Well, explore your knowledge with us. What Beth and.
Or maybe talk to those departments and figure out what's if there's an idea they have to make it simpler, because it has to be complex for that. I think of particularly the jail, there's a big pile. You do that. Is there ways to make that simpler? Because it's figuring out shift differentials. It's a pretty complex process.
So I think the simple thing today is to
make a motion of something and then see where it goes.
See what happens, yeah. So yeah, we can go either way.
Troy, which way do you want to go? You want to make a motion?
You know, Scott, you're really good at making motions. Yeah. I'll let you have at it.
You know what? I'm going to make a motion. I am going to make a motion because I've seen this 100. So I'm going to make a motion not to approve, okay? Just because I think it's a dead horse. But anyways, that's my motion. Okay.
But if it was flying, you'd be okay with it.
Absolutely. If you could get everybody on board, I would be totally okay with it. Because I started that back in 2011, and it went. But I just don't think there's any mind changing with these people. So I just think we're just wasting our time and spinning our wheels and spending money on a software that is not being totally compliant with every department. So that's the reason why I say that. So, but I think it's just a waste of time, Larry.
So is there a second on Scott's motion to not approve?
I'd love to say let's get her done, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But prove me wrong.
All right. I don't hear a second.
Gosh, I can't believe it.
Sorry, Scott.
That's all right. At least we're over it.
Kim, how's it coming?
We're talking about something else.
Kim, your people can check in, but they don't ever check out.
We're on call 24/7, unlike, most offices. I mean, we check emails, receive calls all hours, all days, holiday, weekend, doesn't matter. So, yeah, and we're salary exempt, so we would check in, never check out.
So your legal secretary would be the only one in your office that would potentially have a...
Possibly.
Have an hour, you have one or two, I can't remember.
I have one and a half.
One and a half.
Okay. 1 foot by. And then Sheriff Kleinberg, good luck. Whoever meets with him, I want to be a fly on the wall and listen to that.
So is there a motion to approve?
Well, what the hell? I just said no, and everybody else, nobody went with me, so I think everybody's going
to
approve it.
I wouldn't be ready to go there yet. I would really like to see if we're going to work with somebody else that could help us with this problem or not before I guess I would want to make a decision on it.
So table? Motion to table?
Yeah. I would make a motion to table it.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion to table.
Table for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's fine. Till the 20...
What are you talking about?
Whatever that date is, Joan. Motion by Troy and seconded by Larry.
I don't know. I hope it works out. But.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
No.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay. Item D is approve or not approve a master human resources outstanding agreement with Zelf HR Solutions for a period of 6 months and thereafter automatically renew for a successive period of 30 days at a fee of $5,000 per month plus all reasonable out-of-pocket costs and expenses. So Zelle is a HR company that is working with, I think they said, 14 counties now. Did I remember that number right?
It's 13 or 14, I think.
13 or 14 counties throughout the state right now. They do a lot of, obviously, HR work. Time clock issues are one of them. Insurance, just a lot of issues.
Hiring people,
doing. A lot of good. You talk to some folks. I know a gentleman from Holt County that they have working for them. Speaks highly of them and the work they do.
Remind me of Holt County's county seat.
O'Neill.
They have a large. They have 50 some employees in their road department that they work with. Yeah, and they just love them. So the other thing is Kim had sent out some questions with Zelle's contract wordage, et cetera.
Bob?
Yes.
Do you mind if I
go ahead?
Put my 2 cents worth.
Go ahead.
So I know there's a lot of questions, and Cherie is going to be taking over in January. She wasn't here when we talked to him, I was wondering what everybody thought of having them come again or Zooming, because I know there's a lot of other questions out there that I guess never got asked. And they would be here to talk with Kim about the contract issues that she sees personally, face-to-face. So I did talk to them, and I think they would be willing to come again if everybody would want to do that at the next meeting, whether it be Zoom or personally.
Is that a motion?
Are you talking about a meeting, this meeting, or like a meeting with the...
Well, no, another question. Okay. You know, so like last time they come, but
okay.
Maybe Cherie would be available to ask him some questions. If there's any other questions we have that we didn't think of before or something came up, they can answer some questions about the contract.
I would think as big as they are, I would think they'd have some kind of a portfolio that they could probably hand out to us of all their expertise of what they do. Well, I would think.
You have.
Did they give us something?
They have their Exhibit A.
The copy that I got was missing one of the pages. God, I only got the odd number of pages in that handout.
I don't think you got it. Yeah.
I got page 1, 3,
did
and
I
5.
Copy it? It's all there.
Yeah. Where's 2?
Yeah, I'm missing 2, 4. Because I started to read through the contract.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
Idea.
Did you get Exhibit A?
I got Exhibit A.
I might have copied it.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Yeah,
back
yeah,
to back.
Yeah.
Exhibit A is there.
So really, what they provide, I think, is although it's not cheap, they provide that HR for any individual that wants to talk to them. It's not just elected officials. It's any employee that has a problem. You know, they address anything from handbook to roads to putting out ads to hire. To hire for offices, so they do a lot of they do a lot of good.
Are they attorneys or have attorneys?
They probably do, but I think they're just more of just a HR. You know, I'm sure they do have attorneys that they talk with, but
yeah, it looks like they do some things with your insurance,
benchmarks insurance,
for your insurance. Compensation analysis, benchmarking, recruitment strategy. I think recruitment, I hear that a lot, is kind of our big concern. Kim's struggling.
I don't know that they really help with attorneys, though.
That's a certain category. You think it's certain categories of employees that they're... It'd be interesting to hear, because I know that is a challenge for everybody, recruitment.
I think we're going to make this kind of commitment, and if you would love to get some more questions and have them come. I would rather see them face-to-face than on the Zoom. I think they could make a trip up from Omaha if we want to make a... If we're willing to possibly make a $30,000 commitment for 6 months of their services, I think they can make a drive, I would think.
I'll bet you're right.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would. So do we want to then, Troy, do you want to reach out to them and see if you can get them back here on the...
I would like to, as long as everybody's open to talking to them again and asking some, you know, questions that they want answered, that'd be good. But
do we want elected officials and department heads to be able to ask questions too? I mean, that's really where HR, you know, whether it's questions might percolate from departments.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure they have
a list of questions.
That they've been addressed, or, you know, the top 30 questions or issues they deal with counties about. So we'll just move on then and table this for...
You know, and I'm not going to lie, you know, from the get-go when they showed up here, and I'm thinking, you know, I was thinking, you know, Joni's this and that, and she's going to be taken off, and no disrespect whatsoever to Cherie. She's been around this for a long time, but I just know that it's going to be a whole new concept and adventure for her. And, you know, that's where I was like, you know, this is probably good timing. And then I'm thinking, okay, when I talked to them about the contractors, not contractors, but the unions and this and that, it just seems a little, you know, sluggish of how many union people that we have. Not that they can't use them or talk to them, but in the same time, does that get messy with unions and HR people and, you know? I'm just kind of looking. I just start thinking about everything, and I'm thinking, you know, that's a lot of money, but is it worth it for no more of the, you know, non-bargaining people that we actually have? I don't know.
You never know unless you try.
Good question.
I mean,
well, there's some things that are in the handbook that are not in the contract. So those bargaining employees, some of the stuff in the handbook applies to them.
And they would look at her handbook for us too, and if there's anything cleaned up, they'd do it or updated.
They said they didn't work with unions, but I think I thought they meant they wouldn't negotiate.
But they would still use the HR things,
right,
for the employees. But they're not going to help us bargain with the unions. That's what they're not going to do.
I like the idea, and if you and whoever wants to come and ask questions, you know, as far as any type of elected officials, you know, or, you know, department heads, can just, I would say bring them back. Do you think so?
Yeah, I agree.
Mary, you good with that? Jen?
Yep.
All right, Lynn, let's just move on. We'll table it.
So we can get some references.
We'll table it. Troy, if you want to reach out to him and try to get him back up here for that. All right, then let's move on to item E, is to approve projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. The first item, Jolene, are bids for road equipment, tree mulcher, and mini excavator.
Okay, I had a question about the tree mulcher. Do we still have one that we got on some type of a grant path?
Tree chipper?
Is it a tree chipper or?
Yeah, tree chipper.
Wasn't it a pretty good size one? Is it wore out? What's the story behind that?
Nobody used it.
Yeah, I figured they did, but I didn't. I see that. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah.
That
this is a
mulcher.
This is a mulcher.
Whereas a chipper, you need about five people.
Yeah, no, I understand. I get it. Yeah. Okay. That corrects. Okay. That makes me understand a little more. Okay. So this goes in front of a Bobcat.
Well, they go on excavators and backhoes Bobcats, you know.
Okay, so we have the bids here. You have these in front of you.
We got the sheets to write down. You already filled. Who's this for?
You.
We all got one.
Okay.
We have the bids here. Troy and I were here for the meeting or when we opened the bids. Troy, are these your notes?
Jolene's
up there.
Those are Jolene's. Jolene, do you want to go over these? Or Troy, or I can read them off. I don't.
I think Jolene.
You want me to read them off?
Yeah.
Okay. So the mini excavator. Ziegler had a bid for on a 2022 Cat 303. The bid was $52,148. Delivery date of November 2022. Murphy Tractor had a 2023 machine that's 35G. $63,000 was the number on that with an expected delivery date of 12/15/22. Titan had a bid, they bid a 2023 Case CX37C. The bid was $57,245 with an estimated delivery date of January 2023. And Bobcat bid a 2022 E35 delivery date in 2023. That bid was $57,938.86.
Okay, so let's just talk about the minis real quick then, since we went through all four of them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, Larry, question for you. The horsepower on that top one, am I not seeing it, the Ziegler, the CAD?
24.7.
24.7
horsepower.
right here.
Okay, yeah, 24.7, okay.
And it has, some of them say warranty and some of them don't.
I see the six.
Some of them just follow the spec warranty, which Troy hasn't put in.
It says first full warranty, 60 months, powertrain and hydraulic. Extra collar, thumb weights, is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
And then, is it?
Oh, extra counterweight, 0.5.
Oh, 0.5 weight.
Thumb on the hydraulic. If I remember right what they said.
60 month powertrain.
Do you know what the weight classes are in?
No, that would have been a question for Brent. He,
I mean, looks to me like it's awfully small with a 20 horsepower.
He wanted to be able to put it on a trailer, and hook it up with the trailer, pull around with the pickup. Whereas the other machine is larger, we have to drop the trailer, the gravel trailer on the semi.
Well, what about the rubber tired back? Oh, you could just hop in and take off. You know, you wouldn't have to haul or nothing.
Are any of the bidders here? We have one.
Murphy.
Murphy's here. Okay.
That's it? Just Murphy?
Yeah.
Kat was here when we opened the bid.
But it just looks to me like it'd be, we've already got rubber tire backhoe and an excavator that you'd have to haul, but the rubber tire hole, if you just go out there and put it in a culvert. And I guess that's what this is going to be used for, or digging up the ends of culverts or something. But a rubber tire hole, we have a hole, it means on it. The one we have, the road department's got, has got an extender hole, and it'll reach out and down to a considerable depth to dig out a culvert or place a culvert. Whereas, if I'm not mistaken, by these numbers of these machines, they're limited by reach.
Well, to my understanding, what Brent was thinking is, with some other ones, you have to sit up on the road and do this. This, he could be down in the ditch and working on it.
If you can get down in there,
get down
out of
in
there.
The ditch, use it for cleaning up ditches and culverts, and it would be something that one guy could do also. So,
is this for me?
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on the excavator for Jolene?
Well, I guess my question is obviously we see the Cat is a 2022, and I'm assuming the price of that versus the other, there's two of them that are 23s, and the Bobcat's a 2022 as well, which is a little bit less. The comparison, is it apples to apples? I guess I don't know. I'm not a mini excavator expert.
I think from what I understand, they're all on bid spec, so they're about the, they have 2 foot buckets, they're about the same horsepower. I think they're all relatively the same.
Yeah, okay.
Well, exactly. I guess one of my questions was, and I asked Brent this, is if we had a bunch of culverts lined up, if we couldn't just, you know, rent one for a week or a month or whatever, because I don't, you know, how much are we going to use this thing? I know, are we going to use it all the time? We're just going to use it once in a while?
Well, it's not very often we even use what we have.
Okay, so this is my question. Whose idea was it to put these out for bids?
The roads department.
The road department.
That's, I mean, that's some equipment that
is needed.
Debatable.
They can put debatable. It to work and use it, I guess. So.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I just seen this here, you know, on the agenda, and I'm thinking, okay, I guess I've never heard anybody.
Well, the thing about it, me about it is, we have that at say 50,000, and the mulcher at another 40 some thousand, depending what you'd buy if. You're 36, you're creeping up on 100,000 or getting close. And as far as I'm concerned, we need out there for the road department, if they're going to continue to dig out ditches and elevate roads, they definitely need a scare fire. Because over on Perry, they couldn't cut the dirt in the ditch, it was so hard. And it'd have been ideal if they had a scare fire, they could have ripped it up. Got an 84-inch vibratory compactor they could have had on the job instead of taking four motor graders or having four motor graders over there, two of them wheel packing the material to come up out of the ditches on the road. They could have been off doing something else, grading their own roads and so forth.
Well, and that's something else where a tractor could have come in handy.
And then 150 horsepower tractor. either buy an 84-inch laboratory compactor, self-propelled, or a tractor to pull what's out there in the shop right now, which takes a considerable amount of room to turn around in. So a narrow road, you might go on down to the intersection, turn around, you probably do it all right. And then you got a bush hog for the Bobcat, which would be a whole lot cheaper than the $36,000, and it would cut trees up to 3 inches instead of six. I guess this mulcher is supposed to go on there, supposed to cut up 6-inch trees, but to me, there's so many trees you're not going to be able to get to because they're up on a bank or down in a creek or something to that effect, or a deep ditch where you can't get the Bobcat in there. So ideally, one would have quick couplers on the excavator or the rubber tire backhoe and put the thing on that, and you can reach out and reach up and all over the place and chop these trees up. That'd be the ideal situation. Like, there's even just tractors that got a side boom on them that reach out and cut trees down, or chop them off, cut them back. The railroad's got one that goes on a small rail car that does that all the way down the right-of-ways, up and down. And then you got the pneumatic roller that would have been ideal out there on Perry and the other roads that they've elevated, that they've been doing a good job working on these roads. It's kind of surprising to me because there's more work has gotten done here recently because of the attitude of the guys wanting to get things done. They've been willing to do it and have been doing a good job. And there again, if we're going to continue that work, buying a pneumatic roller for the rear of the motor grader so it stays, you mount it on there and you wheel roll it, and you don't have to have them two motor graders there, extra motor graders to compact. And then plate compactors for the 310 or the excavator or both, which they're pretty expensive, so you probably want one. And with a quick coupler, it'd be no effort to change from the bucket to the compactor, the plate packer, which can be used around the ends of culverts where they're adding on and so forth, so it don't slump off, or if you got a slide, they can compact that slide, which is an ideal way to go at it.
Do you have any general estimates on what?
No, I can come up with ideas, but it's going to be more than your budget, I'll tell you that. And then the ideal thing, again, now, you got that old clunker water truck deal out there, 3,000-gallon tank. It don't have a pump on it really to really do a good job of broadcasting the water like a real dirt pump people would have. So a water truck with a 4,000-gallon tank would be ideal. But then you don't got to run back and forth and fill it up on as regularly as you would with a 3,000.
Yeah, that's something we're having issues with, too. The towns won't let us use their water because their water levels are so low.
Yeah.
We have to come to South Sioux to fill up.
So you might save a trip in a
couple. So where are we at then? I mean,
I can come up with
that sounded
figure.
Like a lot of great information, but I'd have to sit down and really go over it with you. But I mean, what as far as a mini goes, do you not like the fact of getting a mini?
I think it's a waste of money.
Fair statement.
I mean, like I said, you're limited on reach. I this size, I'm thinking they probably reach down, try 6 foot in the ground, you know. Or rubber tire, the one we have is 20.
Yeah.
See? The excavator is probably about the same or even maybe less than the extender hole. So if you're going to be, you got a culvert out here in the ditch, you can read out there and do things, you know, as far as cleaning the end of it out. See? Or if it's in a roadway, you should be able to get on the roadway and dig it out if you're going to take it out. And then get this side, dig it out, and pull it out of there. But I don't know. It's whatever. There's so much money floating around right at the moment that I guess you want to spend it on something. So
I think we need to spend it on something that, to me, and I've been around the road department, but I don't see where a mini is going to come into play. But
well, I mean, I told Bob this. We were in business 35 years before we ever purchased a mini. The only reason why we purchased a mini That's because we was out at BPI inside the building, in tight quarters where you couldn't even, it's hard to get personnel in there even, you know.
Yep.
And in around the structures and stuff around the place. That's why we had bought one. And then we bought also a zero swing excavator too, because of quarters digging right alongside of a building, you couldn't swing with the counterweight hitting the building. So we had to buy that, you know, which they, the county don't need, but the mini, that's why we bought a mini. We never had one for 35 years, got fine, just fine with putting in culverts. We weren't taking that many out unless, you know, once in a while, but not to the.
I just don't know, after we, you know, we have an excavator, we have the trailer, we got the thing to haul it, we don't have to pay anybody to haul it anymore. I think that was, that'll do the job that we needed to do.
And you know, anybody just hop in the rubber tire hole and go. I mean, you might be half hour getting to Homer from the Hubbard job, but not that long, but 20 minutes maybe.
Yeah, I, when I seen this on the agenda, I was thinking, I, unless there was a better reason that I could think that we needed one, but.
All right, so is there a motion then on the?
We haven't read the mulcher bids into the.
We'll do the mulcher?
Sorry for getting in there before that.
All right, we'll do the mulcher. Jolene, go ahead.
The mulcher, we had a 2022 CAT HM418. The bid on that was $47,755. $43,755. Estimated delivery date, December, January. Murphy Tractor did a 2022 Diamond 72-inch mulcher. Projected delivery date was 9/1/22. That bid was $36,000.
Hey, real quick, meets all specs except for the hydraulic front gate. What's that mean?
Basically closes down your opening, your chute opening. I don't know why they would need that, but okay. That's how we spec it out.
Okay.
I think that would limit your cutting power. And
okay.
And then Titan did a 2023 Thecon BH085SS3 with a bid of $47,921. 12 weeks delivery date from acceptance date.
Okay, questions on that? Comments? Larry?
Has any consideration been, had there been any consideration put into the idea of buying one that would fit an excavator or a rubber?
You know what? I have no idea. That would have been a.
What would the cost difference be between something that would fit on an excavator?
Today, excavator ones are $50,000 to $60,000.
$50,000 to $60,000.
Probably going, I'm going up day or month later.
So you're another $20,000 more.
Yeah. I think I just quoted the city, Sioux City one for 57 or 60, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
$60. The skid loader, the only thing is if you don't have good ground to go on, you know, you're not out that far, so you can't get to it. But like on the bluff road and stuff like that, I think it'd be very handy. It would go down, mulch stuff down really nice. I mean, there's situations where it'd be great, and there's situations where it wouldn't be so good.
But up on a slope like that, though, you know, I mean, on the embankment, I mean, it's, you ain't going to be able to get there. You're going to get what you can get.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And get it away from the road.
And just so many trees are up there.
Yeah. So I know a lot of my roads, I wasn't out there, terrible.
Yeah.
Starting to get really terrible.
Right. And so many of those roads are up on, I mean, the trees are up on the road just out of reach. But they hang out over the road, see. They're either going to be cut down. As a matter of fact, the bigger ones I think should be, but instead of chopping them up, but it would be, you'd have a lot of mulch around cutting up a 30-foot tall, 6-inch tree, you know, a number of them.
How big a tree?
And then you're going to have fences in there, too, that you can't really get up the bluff. Along the bluff, there is an old rickety fence in there, see? And as far as that goes, that entire bluff, south bluff, should be reconditioned, rebuilt. Trees taken out, the fence taken out, take it back 20 foot and put it to the other side of the road where you got a 20-foot drop-off. Straight down.
That's the plan, is to redo south bluff.
And to get it to fill that side in, because
they make a ditch on the other side so it drains. So
yeah, big ditch over there. See, if the spring's coming out of the hill, got a place to go. If nothing else, just fill the ditch up with water. If nothing else,
makes sense.
You know, but anyway.
How big a tree? How big a tree?
8 to 10 inches easily.
8 to 10 inches yeah. Easily.
I actually got a brochure up there, I think.
Yeah, wait.
So, questions or motions on either or both?
Wait, I think that without a doubt that mulcher would be handy dandy in the county. I think it'd be, yeah.
You could use it.
Oh yeah, yeah. It'd be a lot the liability standpoint going out with the chainsaw and this and that. I think
one person.
Yeah.
One guy could load it on a truck, trailer, and go do some stuff.
Yeah.
But see, if you can't reach the top of that 20-foot or 30-foot tree, and how do you do it? Then you run into the side of it and chop it off, and then it falls back
you
over.
You start however you want, but I wouldn't run into it. No, I would start at the top and move it down.
But the Bob
not made for 20-foot trees.
Bob can't reach up that tall.
That's a different ball game.
But you could do the branches, so it wouldn't come out on the road. Yeah. Visibility.
Yep.
Yeah, but the branches, I mean, the trees, if you ever notice, they grow out like so.
Can they cut grass?
Over the road.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Shred it.
I'm a grass cutter. Yeah. I maybe use that to cut branches.
I made a separate mower for that.
Plum tickets.
All right, let's talk about that. Okay, so listen, this is what I'm going to do. I think we're all on board, at least I am, on that 2022, the Diamond 72 through Murphy. For $36,000, I think that's. I think we're all convinced that we need one of them. So, with that said, I will make a motion for the mulcher only in today's meeting through Murphy Tractor for $36,000 on the 22 Diamond 72 inch 9122. Holding you to that date if this goes through. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion by Scott, seconded by Troy on the Diamond 72-inch mulcher.
And it goes down $500 a day if we don't have it by 9-1. Yes, sir.
Okay. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
No.
Troy?
Yes.
All righty. Thank you for that. Next item is...
are we done?
Not quite. Approve and award road shop window replacement bid. Jolene, you said you do have one of these for us.
Yes, I do.
And you have four windows, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Two are broke, and they all leak air really bad. I had a bid from Universal Window for $6,000. One from Window World for $4,150, and one from Mullen Awning and Siding for $3,390.
And that's all installed.
These are at South Bluff Road, right? Mm-hmm.
Same quality
window.
Same quality window.
Yeah, well, better window.
Well, I mean, but they're all the same standard bid. I mean.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. Window World and Mullen both come out and looked at everything. Universal just gave us an email over the phone type of thing.
Is Mullen and Awning, are they local?
Morningside?
Yeah. Window World sounds like it's all around the world.
That's just a franchise deal,
right.
I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly.
Make a motion to, I guess, I don't know, is that a good price? Looks like a good price.
$33.90.
These windows, how big are they?
They are I don't think they have dimensions on here. They're going to replace what was there. So they were slider windows.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're probably a vinyl window.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to paint them or anything like that?
No.
Insulated E-values or?
Low E glass, argon gas filled, lifetime warranty on the Mullen. Okay. Other ones don't say much of a warranty.
It's about $1,100 a window then to get it installed. And
you do it four?
Not quite.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Four of them for that price? Oh, okay.
Yeah, all four of them for that price.
I'll second Janet's motion if you're done, Janet.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to do the Mullen for $33.90 with a lifetime guarantee. Installation.
Okay. Motion by Janet, seconded by Scott on Mullen for the windows for the road department.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you
very much.
We also should have, speaking of windows, have an estimate soon on our courthouse windows.
Saddle up for that.
There's 60 windows.
Saddle up.
We're talking about.
I talked to one of the guys. Wow.
Yeah. All right, so the next item is discussion regarding M Avenue project issues. Approve engineering firm to pursue road project.
Do the RTI thing real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was so excited to talk about M Avenue, I skipped. RTI is our internet or our software IT provider. Thank you, Bob, for clarifying that. For the county. This is for our three-year cybersecurity layer for a cost of $14,400. This is one of those necessary things that we need that any meeting you go to at the state level, the county's big discussion on cybersecurity,
cyber, things like that.
It's really, really costly if you get... hacked or something like
ransomware.
Ransomware. Thank you. That's a better term.
What do they call it now?
Ransomware. They hold you ransom.
Oh yeah.
There was a county in Nebraska that happened to had to pay a couple hundred thousand dollars in ransom.
I think Wayne had something too.
Did they? Okay. Anyway, this is RTI, who we currently have on staff or on that we use for our.
So they got it from 8/1/22 to 7/31/2025, a cost of 14.4.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll approve of it.
Okay.
And that's a competitive, I'm assuming, or. They do this for other people too, RTI, right?
I think that's.
Or is this a continuation or something new, I guess?
This is the continuation of a contract that we have with them,
okay.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Addendum to our current contract.
Yeah, addendum to our current contract.
Yeah, there are guys.
Janet,
yeah.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, motion by Scott, seconded by Janet to approve RTI and their license. For cybersecurity. Call the roll, please.
Janet?
Okay. Oh, it'll be, okay, I'm reading the contract. So the total cost is $14,000 for 3 years.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Except on the contract, said up to $3,900 per month, but that's.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not, that's just in, got it. The real increase is $14,000.
It's from 35 to 39. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah, okay, I'm fine.
Okay. Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay. Now, M Avenue project issues. Approve engineering firm to pursue road project alternatives regarding M Avenue paving project and defining path forward. Do we have someone here? I believe we do from... Yeah. Are you Brett?
I am Brett, yeah.
You want to come up and I think, I don't know, we'll just start from...
But you were here not too long ago.
Wherever you want to start from on the latest developments on this project.
I think I told you you were born me, I think, if I remember right.
I probably was.
No, I'm teasing you. I think I did say that to you. Again.
Fair enough. Brett Langley with Civil Engineers and Constructors, 1270 South Derby Lane, North Sioux City, South Dakota. I didn't come prepared with anything to present necessarily, but I can answer any questions you guys have about the project and where we are currently. I guess I can give a little bit of a breakdown of our meeting.
We all have that handout.
The meeting notes,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you reviewed that especially, then yeah, I can answer anything from that to assist.
So it basically, it the... There's going forward, there's considerably, the thoughts are considerably more dirt work, et cetera, that's going to make it costlier, almost.
Correct. I think the term we use is it went from maybe a simple facelift to major reconstructive surgery. So rerouting that road through there and a lot more dirt to get it flatter so that you can meet the proposed speed limits for it.
Right. And one of the things, maybe you can address this, I asked Joan the other day because I know she knows everything. So what, you know, I can't get past the speed limit on a gravel road, right? So the speed limit on M Avenue currently is 55?
50.
50 miles an hour.
On a dirt road.
Right?
Correct.
Sounds right, yeah.
Right. So what I don't understand, well, a couple things. What I don't understand is, so if we were to pave it or blacktop it, why is that not, why cannot that be 50 miles an hour as a hard surface, whatever surface road?
I think the best answer to that is old standards versus new standards. So if that road was to be built today, it would not be allowed to have a 50 mile per hour speed limit. The hills are too steep, your sight distances are too short. So it was something that was built in the past, and yeah, today's standards, obviously built a lot more for safety, would not allow that same road.
Makes sense.
So it's gravel. What's the difference whether it's paved or gravel? I mean, it's still 50 mile an hour.
When you do new, you have to make it meet the new state specs.
Correct. Right, and that part I get. I get that. Where it's, if you would do it today, yep, it couldn't be 50. But so that means there's just all kinds of roads in Nebraska that are 50 miles an hour.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean,
should not be, you know, according to the
standards. Tons of streets especially, too, that are way steeper than what today's standards would allow to be built, right, as well.
And the other question that came to my mind in talking about it was, so let's say you're coming from the east, going on M. You come up over the hill. I mean, there's, when you go into a city, there's, you know, lower speed limits. You know, as you come into town, why couldn't there be lower speed limits? And again, I know you're not the guy that can make these decisions, but why can't there be, like, at the top of that hill, like, look, the speed limit's going to 35 to the bottom into Hubbard. You see that everywhere. You can't go 50 miles an hour through a town where the speed limit is 35. Yeah. Well, you can, but...
I see what you're saying, that, yeah, especially as you're approaching town, you would think that speed limit reduces down. I don't have a good answer for that.
And I don't mean to change the subject here, but what sticks in my mind is it was minor surgery, now it's reconstructive surgery. And I see one liner sentence is the dirt work alone could approach $1 million in cost.
Correct. So that was based on an estimate of, you know, anywhere from 250 to 350,000 cubic yards of dirt work at, yeah, $3 a cubic yard.
So the Nebraska Department of Roads, there is that it has to be away from the cemetery so far? Is that kind of part of the requirements as well? And that's why it has to go
east? It's not necessarily that. Part of the reason that we would push it further from the cemetery is so that, A, we don't have a giant wall there. The road has to lower quite a bit there near the cemetery so that it's not as hilly and steep. So with it lowering down that much, and you picture it's already pretty bit of a vertical, a steep jump up to it, if we lower the road, your steepness...
Getting into the cemetery is going to be...
Correct. It's an even bigger wall there. So a way to avoid a big wall is by pushing it further away, and then you can slope up from the road to the cemetery there. And so everywhere that you move further east there, then you're higher in the air pretty much, and you have to have more fill to push you up to meet where your new elevation is, and then that has to taper down to the... at a certain slope to the matching ground level, so it gets to be quite a bit of dirt work.
So as the road pushes away from the cemetery, it gets closer to the houses that are on the other side of the street.
That as well, yes. I mean, our quick look at it, I mean, it looks like there's room for that potentially if you were wanting to push the road east, but that also requires property acquisition or potentially a condemnation if someone isn't willing to sell the property, that kind of stuff. And that was the big thing that the gentleman I spoke with from the Nebraska Department of Roads said, was that before we can make a determination that a 50 mile per hour speed limit, for example, is unacceptable, there's a lot of different options we'd have to explore, such as a condemnation or rerouting the road around its current alignment a bit to help make some of those standards work better, basically. The financial component, I would say, is not as big of a factor to them as it is to you guys as the client, unfortunately.
The bridge.
The bridge as well. So the bridge is another aspect there. If we are doing a project on both sides of the bridge, they mentioned that the bridge needs to be up to all current standards as well. The same way I'm saying that the road has to have new standards to it, the bridge would have to be current standards as well. So the phrase they used was that we cannot reconstruct the road or build a new road on both sides of that bridge and leave that bridge in substandard conditions. The bridge would have to be replaced with the road as well, if it's substandard.
How wide is that bridge? Could you culvert that, Larry, or not? Is it too wide?
Yeah, it's too much fall.
Is it? Yeah. I can't remember.
We just had it fixed.
Yeah, we just did put a lot of money into it, didn't we?
Well,
$200,000.
Yeah, I mean, the edge of the sides, what do you call those approaches?
But I don't understand. I mean, it's been good, and it's at 80,000.
Yep, and I'm not making the determination that it's not good enough. That's just the comment they said. So they brought up the yearly inspections that are done on the bridge and told us to refer to that. The two items that they mentioned were the width of the bridge. You know, does it match the roadway that we're putting in on both sides at least, which I think it would be good enough in that respect. The other thing he mentioned was, yes, the structural inspections on the bridge or the capacity of the bridge, et cetera, those things. And so it could meet standards. I just don't have that information. And we did. We were given the reports from Jolene to look through some of that, and we haven't looked through it yet. So I don't know if everything that's on there is the information that they'd be looking for necessarily.
The only one thing that...
Well, no. I was just going to recommend something here. You know, I think that probably what should happen is if we're going to move forward on this, and obviously I think everybody would like to move forward, but I think that, you know, prior to a meeting, we should all, you know, go out there and drive the road, get out of the vehicles, look at everything, and you can explain everything to us exactly what needs to be done and what your thought process is how this will work.
Well, I think Troy and Larry have been out there for that meeting.
But have you had the engineers up there and tell you exactly what you two have?
Well, prior to this business.
Yeah. And I went to a meeting at their office, and they had it on the graph, so you could see where it had to go down on top and fill it in and level it out.
Well, maybe I need to get more involved then.
How about reclassification? What's the hoops for that?
It really seemed like the gentleman I spoke with was trying to steer us away from that, but he said the entire list of things that are in their state code for the standards here for this road, we pretty much have to go through that list and check off anything that it would not meet and give an explanation of why. He said that they'd like to see all of the changes and requirements if we were to propose a 35-mile-per-hour road, the same thing for a 45, and then what would have to happen if it was to be made a 50-mile-per-hour road. So basically, yeah, you go through the different pieces of code, and anything that it doesn't meet, you explain why, what your hardships are, why they should consider lowering it to a lesser standard, basically.
You know, I guess the biggest concern here, and I don't know if people really give to Baker's Pies what the speed limit is. I don't think when it comes right down to it, they just want it hard surfaced and paved.
I wouldn't disagree with you, yeah.
You know,
that's the route we originally went for sure, was lowering the speed limit, getting it paved. And
I mean, I know it's a concern, but it is whatever... You know, the regulations are the statutes to do whatever we need to do, but it's just, I know it's just a slow wheel, and I know that there's a lot of some things to figure out as far as monies and how we're going to, you know, pay for it. What other entities are involved that are willing to help pay for this?
Well, we do have some support from Papio.
Yeah.
But that's not the numbers we're hearing now is.
We did talk about maybe an alternate route. Do you know if the NRB would be interested?
We did talk about that with Gavin Parks.
it's going to be an insurmountable amount of money to, because you have to completely change the entrance in the park. It's up there up by the shed up there. Plus, I think you're still going to have issues with that hill, your line of sight going up over that hill. You're going to have to lower that. There's a house right there on top of the hill. You're going to get into that too. So,
Trudy or Vince, do you guys want to, do you have any comments or anything for us? Or are you just here to...
We're here for moral support.
Okay. We need it.
We want to pay.
There
is already a lower speed limit once you get past the bridge.
Okay.
We're talking about coming towards town. There is already a warning and then a sign.
20 miles an hour once you hit town limit.
I just want to say it's 15.
25.
But that has nothing to do, Brett, that has nothing to do with, we're talking about the hill.
Yeah, it's a little bit of what Scott was referring to, that yeah, it's Scott, somebody that, yeah, we were,
you're
that you slow down.
You're talking about going up here and then coming, I don't even know.
That was the alternate.
Gaines and Parks wants nothing to do with that.
Like that.
So the, really the best...
I can just wrap up the end of our meeting pretty much was after we talked about those options that would be tough on MF. Someone suggested the possibility of using, is it 200th Street, just north of the Lux property there, and paving that road east and potentially putting in a new entrance to the park there. The thought was that paving that road and putting in a new entrance booth or whatever like they have on the south end, that would still be cheaper than, you know, what we were originally planning for MAV, and especially from the changes. But it, whatever was explored with that afterwards, I don't know where those conversations went.
So the park would have two entrances, so to speak, instead of...
No, they were talking about abandoning the long south side.
And leaving a new entrance on the other side?
Do you know if that 200th Street, is that any item, is that up for, or could that be a discussion item, or is that off the table?
Is that right on top of the hill, or going up, not on top of the hill, but halfway up the hill?
Just to go across the bridge and just take
across
left.
The bridge.
So take first, a left, right. Yeah. So it's not like you're catching the traffic coming over. I've been out there and I looked at it, but it's been a long time ago.
Is there shop? They have a shop. Is it the shop? Is that what they have up there?
Yeah, it's a shop. And, you know, the road was abandoned back when we first started doing the project. But, I mean, I can't speak for Gaines Parks. I thought there was going to be somebody here today, but I must not be able to make it.
It seems like it's very steep from the maintenance shop down to the park.
Well, we talked about going.
You'd have to change.
Where's that abandoned road at, Joan? Can you scroll?
Right here.
Is that it right there?
Yeah.
That's 200.
Here's 200. Here's the house at the top of the hill, their road shop, and then. Yeah, it went under the lake here.
So the existing, the old road before the lake.
Yeah, it
so
stopped.
The crest of the hill is where those trees are at, right here.
Yeah, it stops about right here.
Yeah.
You could start meandering. Well, here's the end of Lux's property, right? If you wanted to start, I don't know.
No. The crest of the hill coming up here.
Yeah,
the first
hill's in here.
It's like right here, isn't it?
Yeah. No, we're talking about 200 though.
Yeah, right. This is 200.
Yeah, curve over by the house, or that, right where them driveways are going in at the high point of that, or the hill. See where that house is? There's two driveways come out of that house yard there.
Right here.
No, back at the, on top of the hill.
To the right,
east.
To the right, Scott. Up at the lake.
Up
okay, over
main,
here?
Right yeah, there. Up at the maintenance building.
Okay.
There. Yeah. That's about the top of the hill there.
Does the Nebraska Game and Parks, are they aware of kind of this roadblock we've run into? Are they? Because they said they would
help
we'll
talk
you
to Terry.
You have talked to Terry.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, by doing it this route, you're asking more money out of the Nebraska Game and Parks, Tap Hill, where we've already spent so much money putting the efforts on the south side, and everything just flows through that way. You don't have any, I mean, to get in from the south side off of 203rd now. I mean, it's fairly flat to get in there versus coming up over the hill. You're coming right down into the lake. So, you'd have to turn immediately
right.
to come into the, if you're going to reroute a road down to the other end, down towards the boat ramp.
And there's still a lot of traffic on M Avenue that still doesn't solve the safety issue of the hill by the cemetery.
But plus, I think we were saving, I mean, I know, I understand that there was
we were looking at it versus a mile, and was it 7/10 of a mile, I think, mm-hmm. or somewhere between 7 and 8 tenths of a mile difference, using the main road versus using 200. So, but I guess I'm not sure. You know, I didn't know, we didn't know about the whole 50 mile an hour, 35 mile an hour thing at the time either.
And we haven't explored 200 Street much as a, much yet as an option. That's what I believe this agenda item was touching on, was just determining that MAD would be a lot more expensive, and then looking at some different options for how 200th could work. Us putting together some different sketches and drawings of what that could be, getting some survey of it started, that kind of thing.
So if we went to 35, would it require as much dirt work? Are there,
as opposed to the 20 that we were trying to do?
45 and 50.
Well, 35 being the lower.
That's the
lower. I'm sorry. The lower the speed limit, the less dirt work it requires.
Okay. So do a 10 mile an hour.
We'd love to, but that's the. I don't know. We wouldn't love to. I don't think I'd want that. But that was the problem. They're telling us it has to be 50.
Oh.
The Nebraska Department of Roads?
Correct.
Yeah, they're saying it has to be?
Correct.
Because it's a county road?
As a county road, that's the basis, is 50. And if you want it to be lower than 50, you have to go through the board there to have a relaxation of standards approved, which was, they
an
said...
engineer study?
Well, that might be...
An engineer study?
Pretty much, yeah, going through all the different criteria of what makes it that. And so they said that... 35 was the lowest by state law they were allowed to approve, and even that was far from a sure thing, is what they told us.
So 35 would require,
would still require
a lot of work, a lot more work than initially we thought.
Correct.
And that's the lowest we could go.
Correct.
Even on a good day,
if even approved.
That's crazy. I guess you don't put that stuff into perspective. That
and would that be because I'm just thinking if it's you know, if you just go plead your case with the Department of Roads, I mean, that's cheaper than $1 million, mm-hmm. you know, and they can tell you no. So I mean,
so what's it take to get to that point, you're saying?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, because if a, at the top of the hill or before the hill, it said it goes to 35.
I think that's still, so 35 miles per hour still had, I want to say, 8 to 10 feet of cut at the top of that hill.
Oh, geez.
Wow. That's why you have to go east and access
Correct. Fire
property.
And so we can move further away from the properties that on the west side, especially, that are pretty close to the road, and the cemetery being pretty close to the road. So that was, 50 miles per hour was very heavy surgery, and we're still talking surgery at 35 miles per hour.
So, all the highlights.
I don't have a good analogy for those. I guess those
I like it. Plastic surgery. Yeah. It's a major plastic surgery.
Reconstructive.
That's crazy, I guess, when you think about the speed limits and how it changes your whole game plan.
And the state in particular, you know, they're used to bigger projects. A lot of the standards are set for bigger projects, where condemnation and eminent domain are things that are used quite a bit when you're constructing a new road. So I don't know. I think there's options if we were to try to plead our case. And
do we have the financial or cost for 35 miles an hour?
I'm not certain. I don't know that we have a full cost estimate for that yet, and that's with the 8 to 10 feet of cut we're saying still at the top of the hill. How much dirt work that is exactly, I don't have those numbers with me. So I kind of what got us to that point was we can tell, you know, the rise and fall of the road and how much dirt is in there, and then after you raise or lower that road so much, you have to taper it off at 4 to 1 from there to wherever you tie in. We didn't have survey even far enough out to tie it in yet that far to the east.
So my question is, where are we at money-wise with you people?
We are...
It might be up to $200,000 already.
No. I want to say in 2017, and don't, I guess you can write it down, but I'm not sure it's entirely correct. In 2017 to 2018, when we first started this project, I think we had spent $20,000 or so, maybe, I think less. And then as of this year, I think it was maybe another 10 that we put into it. So full contract was 50, and we're at maybe 30 right now.
Well, rough numbers. Contract was 32 or 35.
They just billed us 30.
So that's, I wanted to talk about that one too. I think that's the entirety of what we have done so far. And I was typing away the last hour while watching this meeting, trying to get the real number on that to see, and I didn't get an answer yet. So
what do you mean?
Hold off on that invoice for now, certainly. I think that I think it's
overbilled? Is that what you're saying?
If we already billed something...
You billed something years ago.
Correct. So if we billed something years ago, then it's definitely not that 30 right now. I believe that 30 is supposed to be the total.
So we're three quarters paid on that, probably.
Oh,
it was 13,000 and then 720. So we paid 17.
So how far out, if we would go to the state and plead our case, we're talking
at least a month and a half to 2 month process, I think, is what they said. Try to submit it ahead of at least a month, they said. That's if we had everything ready right now, which
right.
We don't have everything ready right now. I'd say probably 2 months, maybe 2.5.
So our next steps are,
if that's the route we want to go, is to still push forward with a design down M Avenue. And I think realistically our best shot is going to be like a 45 mile per hour or something less in there, because he seemed pretty stringent on the 35 being a long shot.
You got to make it realistic.
Yeah, so I think...
So 45 might?
I think there's a potential for that, yeah.
So but the cut still, then would be at what?
What's 25
foot?
Yeah, I'd say 10 plus, 10 to 15 maybe. I'd have to look for certain at 45. But again, the more you move the road east and potentially look at, you know, what's an acre or two of the property to the east potentially cost, you know, if you're paying even a high 30 or 40,000 an acre, say, something like that, maybe that's still less money than, you know, 300,000 or 400,000, 500,000 worth of dirt work.
Right.
Get your road lowered a bit.
That guy on the east side actually would be on a well coming out to the road.
It gets closer to it, certainly, and that's why we were looking at. So, and you can't push too far east, because then your horizontal curves become too much for 50 miles per hour. So you're playing a balancing game pretty much between how much you curve left and right, how much you curve up and down as you go through
there. And I couldn't agree more with Trudy. You know, the 200 is an option. I know that's been discussed about, but I think we want to stay on M Avenue to get as much as that paved as possible for less maintenance, because you know it's still going to be...
Well, maybe we could just do part of the...
It's going to be a pretty big expenditure.
That first part.
Either or way.
And I think one potential option would be just looking at doing south of the bridge, especially if the bridge ended up being... Some component of it was substandard and they were forcing you to reconstruct it. And then maybe you could get away from that requirement by just going from south of the bridge what is it, 220th down there, or 203rd?
Yeah, is it 203?
Can you pull that picture down just a smidge?
What do you want to look at?
I just want to look at to see how, you know, is it, how close is it to the highway? I mean, I'm just a whole different angle here. Like, no, down towards the highway this way. Yeah, cool. Is there another way to get there that's flatter?
Yeah, you can cross the Spencer Farm.
I was going to say, we can go across Jones.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm just thinking. I mean,
there's a hill there, too.
It's a small feet.
A flat area to get just boats and campers. Well, I mean, I think that's the challenge to get them in there right now.
If you would. Where is that?
I mean, if you had to do land acquisition, is there another spot where it would make more sense? A nice flat entry.
That still doesn't solve the problem on Ben Avenue.
No, that doesn't.
Yeah. I mean,
you would not have near the traffic and the boats and the campers on M Avenue if you had an alternate route. I mean, the alternate route could be maybe way over here.
Well, once upon a time, somebody told me it was supposed to run across the dam.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, like I said, but Gavin's point, you go across the dam somehow. I don't know how you do that, but.
That dam was not designed.
To drive on?
Traffic.
To drive on.
No, I mean, any traffic we have now has to go below the dam, so. One thing I might, you know, also put out there is that we are putting little water down Manhattan, not 200 Street. So any potential development on 200 or Manhattan Avenue could be there, you know, you'd have real water for anybody to hook up to. There's anybody that lives along Manhattan Avenue knows about the water. So, I mean, if you're thinking ahead in the future, what you might get for property taxes, development, that kind of thing, it's going to come off Manhattan Avenue, not 200.
Right.
So the water line is going to come all the way from where? From Hubbard down Manhattan Avenue?
Not from Hubbard, no. It's not going all the way to Hubbard. It's only going down to 200.
Oh, it's coming from the south, or from the line.
From the east.
It's going to go up towards
Hubbard.
South, but
yeah.
But as far as development goes, I mean, you're not going to get the development on the back side of it.
Okay, so what's our next step here? 35, or you said 45 mile an hour. Let's figure out where we're going from here.
If you are wanting to still pursue M Avenue, then I think we look at what the requirements would be, how much work it would take to get it to 35, 45, and then...
$1 a mile, all of the above. Can you have that in 2 weeks?
But we still have to go to the state, right,
yeah,
and try to get it lowered.
We need that information first before we go to the state.
I think it's possible to get a dollar amount for 35, 45, and 50 in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just wishful thinking, Nick, just so we can, you know, get this rolling, and if it's going to happen, then we can start, you know, planning for next spring.
Biggest factor that's going to change between those is going to be dirt work, is what we'll look at. I guess it's hard to hypothesize exactly what we have to do to get the 40 or 50 in there, because that would take meandering the road a bit, and that's going to take acquisition, and pricing that's a little tough.
Well, that's what you pay the big money.
There you go.
So what do you think? So what do you think it's going to add to the cost of your work
to
get it through the state and back?
To our contract. That's tough for me to pull a number, but 5,000 maybe. Just trying to think of that's probably a comfortable number.
Okay, one question I've been bothering me a little bit, this bridge.
Yeah.
The approaches to the bridge. Will the state have anything to say about whether or not we have a grade beam in there or something to support the approach?
That's a question we've asked, at least. I don't think we have a good answer for it yet. How does our road tie into that bridge?
Yeah.
What kind of supports are there for the approaches on either side? Typically, that's something that's built with the bridge itself, you know, and those approaches are factored in. So I don't think we had good plans on the bridge from when it was built, right? We'd have to do some more investigation into that, or try to track down some plans with the state or something to know that for sure.
So, you know, down here on 120, you know, if you ever noticed what they were doing there, they were driving pile, like H-pile, mm-hmm. and then they poured a grade beam on it. And then they poured a slab about that thick, you know, to the bridge abutment, you know, onto that beam.
That was them paving a road to an existing bridge, you're saying?
Yeah, that gotcha. Yeah, they tore out all the approaches along on 120 there. They tore all out the end of the bridge there because they were sinking, you know. And we have that problem right now in the county down on, well, it's Omaha Avenue, where they got an awful dip right there at the bridge from settlement. See, and I'm just wondering if that would have an issue. Would that be a requirement, do you think?
I think it's definitely a concern of ours, and quite possibly a requirement. It's tough to say exactly what that's going to be, though, without some more research on it. But I think you're down the right path.
It'd be hard to tie into the end of that, bridge, you know, so the slab one, it's not there, but sheet pile, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Got a cap on the sheet pile, you know.
That could be the situation, yeah.
It's hard to tell what looking at it. I guess I've never looked at that close either.
How do they determine, if we go to the state, how do they determine then the 45 versus 50?
I can't say if I've been through the process before, but if I had to speculate, I think they would weigh what your cost difference is, but I don't think that would be a huge portion of what they're reviewing. I think they would look at the alternatives and what those cost as well, and what we did to try to exhaust those other options. I think they would look at the use of the road and the number of people that take access off of it, that kind of thing. That amongst other things. That's, yeah, a tough one for me to answer with confidence.
So they get back, they give you an answer right away or shortly after?
I think
after
they take a while to review the situation, at least a couple of weeks.
Okay. So it's not months or...
They review it. Well, they give the information to the board. They make sure we have all the stuff in that they need. And then the board meets generally, ideally once a month, but whenever something comes up, but I don't think any more than once a month.
Who is our... don't we have a district person, John Kingsbury used to be years ago on the...
Trudy knows his name.
Kevin Don Gonzalez?
Yeah.
Is he our highway, on the highway...
he's my go-to guy for the state. He's the one I know down in Norfolk.
Okay.
But apparently the guy that you're working with is higher up or different. He's the secretary to the board. Okay, I don't know.
Lemoyne Schultz. He's in the Nebraska Department of Roads, mm-hmm. and our representative is the one that Trudy knows.
Well, that's good.
He's on the board?
I don't know if he's on the board.
Oh, he's okay.
Well, I don't think we're not ready to give up yet
on MF. Okay.
I really don't. I mean, the board, that's just my opinion, because if it's not that costly to get... 40 on the 45 speed limit, you know, we're...
In my mind, 45 is a better speed anyway.
Right.
Keep in mind, 45 is definitely still realigning that road,
right.
Acquiring property, and still a pretty significant amount of grading.
So if it's $1 million now, is it...
$2 million.
Really?
Yeah, because if you move that road out, say, 50 foot, you're going to have a hit of more than one. You'd be clear halfway down through that field.
Absolutely. That's...
Yeah. That field's almost a 4-to-1.
And so 4-to-1 is basically the reason behind the standard there is 4-to-1 is considered correctable. If a car was to go off the road, at 4-to-1, they can stop and correct themselves.
Okay.
If you're steeper than that, which obviously is going to bring you down quicker and you need less dirt work, that's not considered correctable, and so you, you have to extend it out as something flatter so that they can...
Vince, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I was just going to say, I've been working 20 years on this project, and I'm glad to see that you're still talking about it and hopefully getting something done. So keep up the good work and keep working on it. It can be done.
It can. It just takes money.
Yeah, the famous last words of Bill Rohde, it ain't nothing money can't take care of.
Right. But anyway, I think we do need to get that number, right?
Yeah.
That's my...
Okay, so I'm hearing...
45?
Explore our options of lowering the speed limit.
Was you going to give us, like, several different options?
I think that's what they're going
to
want.
They're going to want us to,
yeah.
to say...
55, 45, 35.
Yeah. And they seemed, you know... They didn't think 35 was probably going to be an option.
Right.
But,
40 or 45.
Yeah.
So it's they're looking at the safety, because if something happened and the road was too steep, we'd be sued. Is that what the deal is?
So I wonder why, I got to ask you, because you know this kind of stuff. when they put this this park in there, or this lake, why did they, I mean, they had to know that M Avenue was going to be a challenge, you know, going forward, and if we were ever going to pave it, or, you know, it was going to be costly, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't know if people, I think everybody, did they overlook that, Vince, maybe? At the time, they were just so excited about the lake and getting everything.
It was to protect the soil over there. The dam was built for that purpose.
Right.
And the rest of this all came afterwards and so forth. So we weren't worried too much about that until now.
The main purpose was soil and water conservation. Yeah. And it has done its job and paid for itself in that. The recreation was a bonus. Therefore, let's do that, help bring more to the county.
Yeah.
But it took a lot of years of talking to people and work behind the scenes, which I know a guy that did a lot of that, to get the lake, to get that whole big project, bring all those big entities together to do that. Mm-hmm. You guys are one of the key entities. You're the steering wheel mm-hmm. for M Avenue. You just need to continue working and getting those other entities in here to help pool the money. NRD is already saying that they will some. The Game of Parks, as long as you've got on board, you just need to get the state's blessing and get them to pull in their money. I don't know what the speed limit to pump the state park is, but I don't think it's 50, and that's a county road. It's a spur. So there are ways. It's just a matter of talking to the right person, getting it wrote down correctly. And
you know, it's a windy road to the state park, but I think it is 50 mile an hour up in there. I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I couldn't tell you.
I wouldn't worry too much about the speed limit, really. These are campers that are going out there, and they're not going 56 right. miles an hour.
Right.
But that just makes a difference on the grade, though, Vince. It's all, yeah. I mean, how much dirt, and you got to remember all the local traffic that's going to be on it as well. So, yeah. I mean, I get it. It's a better picture drawn for me today. I was more entertained than bored today. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. And I think it'd be wise for all of us to drive out there and check it
well,
out.
Well, I think it would be a good idea.
See how they do theirs.
One of the options we were trying to do was get the road reclassified to scenic recreation. That's because it is going out to the lake, and that's one of the requirements of it. That would bring us down to the 35. And we were talking with LeMoyne, and he really didn't seem to think that, even though it is going to a lake, that the 35 would still be an option. But
I think that's probably one of the things we'll state our case on for the 35 and hope it sticks.
Yeah,
basically. Perfect.
What okay. happens if it's a state access, if it's an access road, is that the same thing?
He said it's different going out to the park as if it was in the park. If that makes sense.
So if it was
In the park,
then it could be scenic.
Going out, you could still classify the scenic recreation, but they're not as willing to do that.
Doesn't Hubbard have a mild jurisdiction that they can do any speed limit?
That's kind of a make or break deal.
No, because they have a mild jurisdiction on the zoning, but the county road takes over right there.
Are there other options for that road?
Brett, any
better gravel road?
Any other options for that you see for us going forward on that road to make it better? Or, I mean, there's
pretty limited, isn't it?
It's very limited with a cemetery right there, and that's usually pretty sensitive ground that you can't mess with a ton. If my answer on how this road happens is it gets pushed east a little ways. And that there's some property acquisition involved. You get it a little flatter through there. Your speed limit comes up, and everybody except the people paying are happy.
But, yeah, it'd be different if it's a moneymaker. You know, if we were getting revenue, tax revenue yeah. from it.
I think that's a positive side, is that it could help spur development off of it. You know, your ground there is, whoever owns that ground there is prime for looking over the lake. There's some beautiful views there for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's some way you can help spin the extra cost, but especially with a water line going through there too. I don't know when the plan is, but I would think if we do continue down this route.
Well, they better wait, we're moving our road.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If we continue down this route, we should, bundle that somehow.
They're talking next year.
They'll probably have to move the power line too, won't they?
Yes, those power lines will have to move.
And they just moved it.
Correct, yeah.
2 years, 3 years ago. Because, well, I'd ask them what they're doing, so they're going to pay them, it's over.
And utility lines, are there?
It probably is, yeah.
So Brett, once you work up the formula and the fee, you can just plug in the mileage, right? Whether it's 45 or 40 or 35, and that'll increase costs going. So, I mean,
you just won't know what the land acquisitions are going to cost and all that.
I won't know what that'll cost. Yes,
you'll know how much land we need to get.
Yes, with the different speed limits, I'll be able to say how much dirt work we have to do.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough.
Yes, and that's—I'd say that's the biggest component here. There'll be some little differences too, and of course, land acquisition as well.
Okay, so we need then, I think, a motion to, because it says to approve engineering firm to pursue road project alternatives regarding M Avenue, and define a path forward. So I think we've defined the path. So I think it says we need a motion, guys.
So moved. Yeah, whatever. I'll go second.
Motion by Troy, seconded by Scott, to approve the engineer to go forward and get us some more estimates.
Estimates.
All right.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Call the roll, please. Joan?
Don't give up on it.
Not yet.
Took years to get that dam put in.
Did he say it took years to get that dam in?
No, I don't think so.
I thought he said that.
Language.
Yeah. No, I'm teasing you. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
Good seeing you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Larry?
Yeah.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right. Moving right along.
Really? Show me.
Closed session to discuss union contract negotiations for Road Department Local 251 Master Agreements. So we need a motion.
So moved to go into closed session.
Motion by Scott, seconded by Larry.
No. Yes.
To go into closed session.
Proceed.
Hustle.
Troy? Brett, if you get it in.
Troy, Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yep.
So we meet the 8th of August.
Okay.
If you have anything by then. If not, the 22nd.
Okay. Every 2 weeks.
Yep. We'll shoot for the 8th.
You need to restate the reason for
the
closed session?
Going into closed session to discuss
Have a good night, man. Thanks.
Yep.
Road Department contract, Local 251.
Hey, maybe you got to get a hold of your...
Scott, you got to stick around. You got to stick around for the vote. Oh, you're going
to
let Randy in?
Bob's got a lot of T-shirt on and underwear. He's got underwear.
No.
The gloves on.
I'm going to come breath.
So do we...
Y'all make a motion to come out of closed session.
I'll second.
Do we talk the number?
Yeah.
Okay. Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to come out of closed session.
Just approve the master agreement.
Call the roll, please.
Okay. Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yeah.
Troy.
Yes.
Okay. So we need a motion to approve or not the comprehensive master agreement between Dakota County of Dakota and Nebraska Public Employees Local 251 Road Department.
So moved on the adjustments.
Okay. Moved
second
by Scott, seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please.
Scott.
Yes, ma'am.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes. We could be done unless you want to talk about your poster. Oh, no, we have committee reports.
I don't think I have any for the last couple weeks.
Okay.
The RC&D group went to the ethanol plant, had a really nice tour, and I was really impressed with all of the things they do to save energy and water and electricity, and they do a lot of things. I'll save this for next time, but just for a heads up, we're working on a postcard for the broadband for our rural residents. We got about less than 1,000 that we
we're still short. We need about 200 more people to let us know how the broadband is. But I can wait till next time since it wasn't on the agenda. So I'll bring this back.
Larry?
What?
Anything?
No.
Okay, Troy?
I sat in on the pipeline with the pipeline people, and I did work on asking them if they would help us repair our roads they're going to destroy, and they're going to have to dig out some ditches to get them to standard height, and I asked them if they would help with that or, you know, or do it for us or whatever, so I'm working on that.
Okay.
Wow. That's so. Okay.
I was at the Northeast Nebraska Aging and had a meeting last week also on the Senior Center in South Sioux. They're moving forward. They want to keep it open. There are some people involved, Bill Garvey.
That matter.
So they're going to start with keeping it open. The food is down the road a little bit, but number one goal is to keep it open. So, and I think they will. And so anyway, they're moving in the right direction.
And I figured somebody's going to come up with something to keep that open because it's a busy place.
Yeah.
It's a busy place. It's a much needed place.
Yeah. Good place to form everybody to go.
Very, I mean, it really is. I mean, the Meals on Wheels and all the above.
They have a few issues to fix as far as kitchen and electrical that should have been done, and they got to pay some bills that they owe. They have some outstanding bills and no money right now.
It's not managed right?
I don't know. It is what it is. But anyway, there's some good people involved trying to do that.
That's good to hear.
Anything for the cause?
Just the mail that we got, just make a note that Waterbury South, Kenny Burcham Bridge, one-year warranty is just about up September 24th.
So. Okay. All right. Nothing else? We are...
There's the mail item.
Oh, yeah.
JEO notification on the warranty expiring on the Waterbury South Bertram Bridge. Greg went out and looked at it, said dirt work looks good. He checked the cement, said there's no cracks in the cement. So we'll monitor it a little more, just see if anything comes up. But so far, everything is good to go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thanks, Jolene.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. That was
a meeting.